93 FM, 106.7 WJFK,
Manassas, Washington, D.C.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Yep. You know what? I just lost it on the machine.
Oh, that's all right.
Can you find it again real fast? There it is.
Mosh. Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
That's some sad news, dude.
Ouch.
That is
Don
sad.
And Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Don Knotts. You know, and the trifecta is right there.
Mm-hmm. Probably we were discussing the fastest trifecta that we can ever remember.
Yeah. Three good guys.
Guys in a similar kind of genre.
Don Knotts, mm-hmm. the guy, the dad from A Christmas Story.
Right.
Darren McGavin.
Darren McGavin, who was also the Night Stalker.
Right.
McCloud! And Dennis Weaver, who has been on the show. Don Knotts has also been on this show.
Yeah. Well, that's where we...
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
That's where we got that tape from.
Dennis Weaver was on. For a very brief period of time. Talking about his...
McCloud.
And that guy passed away recently.
That guy doesn't rape, but McCloud.
But do you know that guy, seriously, I think died like a month ago.
Wow.
McCloud.
Dropping like flies.
That's your trifecta right
sure.
there.
And Darren McGavin would be, no, funguses! Hey!
My father painted in profanity.
Fragile. It's a major award.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
The thing that surprises me
what?
Mike? Is that Don Knotts looks so vital.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I thought he'd be.
How can someone who looks so healthy,
so fresh,
stop be it. Taken?
Stop it.
Oh. Yeah.
Will
he lived a good life.
Yes. Yeah. A tribute to Don Knotts, but not with Don Knotts later on the show.
Oh, very good.
That's right.
Because, you know, there's a whole secret handshake club and everything else.
Okay. In tribute, though, very briefly now, can't we all on the count of three do it? Can't we do 1, 2, 3?
Boo!
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
No. This is not our official opening song.
Okay.
But we did find a copy of this.
The Buckingham.
This is the song.
Susan.
Like it's a 2-minute song. We'll just let it roll and talk in the background. When I was 15,
yeah.
doing my first ever DJ radio record hop, when they sent me out seriously with borderline, I mean, well, not borderline, these were retarded kids.
This is the song that made the kids go crazy?
Yes.
They're all just dancing now.
Yeah, now.
Liking the song.
At this point, you have to really picture. Like the guy, like Corky.
Uh-huh. Do you know you've never played this song when you've been working with me?
Ever? I do have bad memories about this song.
You talked about it, and I never knew what the song was you were talking about.
So now at this point, it's a musical bridge, and they're all still out there going... I mean, really great sound from Chicago.
Uh-huh.
They had brass before Chicago Transit Authority. Great band, great melody.
Right.
Pop all the way.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like the most mellow song in the world.
Very pleasant, really.
What Mongoloid wouldn't like it? Well, how was I to know? So now at this point, they're all kind of touch dancing.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know,
happy.
I'm having a good time. I'm having a good time, thank you.
And then it gets strange.
Okay, hold on. Listen now. Now all I'm hearing is like,
no!
And some of them are actually holding their ears
because they're scared.
Yeah.
No!
The lady's coming over and saying to me, "Turn it off! Turn it off!"
Oh God!
Wow!
You know what? That makes such total sense. Now it all comes together.
Right after that, it picks right back up. It goes, ba-dum, ba-dum, bum. Susan.
Right back into the song. What did they put that in the middle of that record for?
Psychedelic.
I believe, I hate to sound like Casey Kasem, but I think that they just didn't have an end for the record.
Right.
And they had a point where they just kind of went into, you know, they were riffing, right. And then they thought, okay, well, now we'll just bring it back and come back with the hook.
Never has a song sounded like it didn't need that more than that song.
Right, yeah, a little out of context.
Totally out of place. totally beautiful.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling. Oh,
that's too bad.
Yeah.
That's too bad. Don Knotts. You know, we never replay stuff during a show while we're live, but we should replay when we take another one of our incredible lengthy vacations.
Mm-hmm.
We should play one of those that Don Knotts thing.
We will. It was
He's a good guy.
While he was still alive.
How long ago did we do that interview with him? 5 years?
I think so.
That okay. long? Wow.
No, I don't think it was. I think it was in the last three.
A couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Was it?
I think so.
Uh-huh. So you know that stuff by heart.
Come on.
He's miming. He's pantomiming.
And incidentally, because you know we're all sick bastards. Everybody is with the celebrity deaths, especially when they come in threes.
Uh-huh.
Guess who was the winner? Now, I'm in the grocery store. I have a long weekend out of town. I'll tell you about that later.
Right.
But I'm out of many essentials like dog food, and so I got the list, and I'm in the grocery store, and the phone's ringing, and my arm, I'm in such a hurry, I didn't get a cart. So I've got the big, gigantic 20-pound bag of dog food, mm-hmm. and I've got, like, the detergent and the other thing. The phone's ringing, and I've got the sweatshirt on that's got, a hooded sweatshirt that's got the little thing.
The pouch in the front.
Yeah. Right. So I reach in for the phone, it's like, missed call. See, it's from Rob.
I go,
crap. I set everything down,
uh-huh.
and then it says, beep, beep, you have one message.
Ah.
So, let me play you the message.
Rob.
It's a little trip into his mind, but he was not the first with the news.
Ah.
The news was, do you mention that on this message?
Yeah, I believe I do.
Yeah. Wildcard, who gave Rob the news about McLeod.
Huh.
In my briefcase?
Yeah,
okay, well.
His arms are full of packages now.
Right, so I don't get this message. So it's not until I'm on my way out of the store that I click the thing on.
Oh, hi there.
Please enter your password.
Ah, well, now that's secret.
Yes,
super secret. And so.
We won't play that part.
Come on.
First saved message.
Here we
McLeod?
Go.
We're going to have to plan your funeral, McLeod. McLeod? And it's Weaver. Dead. At age 142. 81. 80-year-old Dennis Weaver is regrettably has passed. He has perished. I'll see you here. Bye.
That's Rob's new favorite word, perish.
Yes.
End of message. To delete this message, press 7. Message deleted.
Oh.
So, no, okay, I got the follow-up then, the recon, afterwards. Uh-huh. So now I'm in the car, and I call him back. And I say, well, congratulations. You know, you're the first. And he said, yeah, he said, thank you.
How many people did you call with Dennis Weaver?
Only you two. Really, it's just a thing for the three of us.
Yeah, that's true. And you emailed me about Knotts.
Yeah, because it was late.
Right.
So I didn't want to, you know, disturb.
But who called you about McLeod?
Beth Ann called up here.
Ah. Beth Ann. In the club.
Babysitting the Wire.
The Celebrity Death Club.
It was really a great, fast, all-letter D trifecta.
Oh, wow. That's right. All-letter D.
Mm-hmm.
Darren, Dennis, and Don.
Exactly.
Right. Wow.
Man, well.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
That guy's too great. Hold on a second.
McGavin Knotts Weaver.
8,000 Barney Fife tapes.
If you ask me, they ought to fire the whole lot of them. A bunch of gold brickers and deadheads, every one of them.
Deadheads.
God, he was great before his time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were fun. You're funny, all right. You're a scream.
You know, we might have to put him on a soundboard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And call some phone whores as a tribute to Barney Fife.
Absolutely.
Hi, this is George Michael.
Really? Well, now.
You know something I don't?
I don't know if you read in the tabloid. Well, it's not in the tabloid press. It's in the regular press.
It's all over the
place. The headline says, George Michael arrested.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I knew, he was recovering from his accident on the horse.
Yeah, what could he do to get arrested? He's still convalescing.
Yeah. He's doing a show on
the medication.
On Channel 4. Oh, no. This is the Susan record again. We don't need to hear.
No, we really don't.
We don't need to hear that again. Oh, you got it? Here it is. Okay.
Hello, everybody. I'm George Michael, and this is the History of Rock, the 50s, Part 2.
he was the other George Michael.
Oh, hi.
The guy from Wham.
I'm George Michael.
Mother,
this is the history of cigarettes.
The former the George Michael of Wham was arrested.
What did he do now? Was he in another, was he in another men's room in L.A.?
I was slumped in his car, and he had some weed and farms with him, I think.
Was he sleeping in his car?
Yeah, I think he was passed out, right?
That's not the best part.
Well, not quite.
Drunk.
Yes, the boot, as they call it in England. In his boot, you know, in the rear, sex toys.
Oh.
And masks.
And what? Well, there's nothing illegal about that, is
no,
there?
No, it's just not surprising. I mean, it's just something you want to know. I think.
Bye!
That's not.
Not on the boot.
Right.
Found those in his trunk, too.
Bye!
I admire a guy that created those wonderful characters on Three's Company and the Andy Griffith Show and still had the energy to run a berry farm.
All right. I get you.
Bye!
Bye, Don.
Yeah, goodbye.
Don't forget, my brother got fired from...
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
He got fired from Knott's Berry Farm for refusing to shave... His very manly beard.
His beard,
right.
His beard. Not his other.
No facial.
That's not a requirement.
That's a Disney requirement. You got to shave everywhere.
Everywhere, including a Brazilian wax for the men.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
All right.
Hello, turn down your radio. Hello there. Hello.
Don.
Yeah, hi. You're on the air. This is the pre-show. So we work out the kinks right now. Someone get Ray Davies in. We're going to give him a rub down. Hello?
Radio went silent. My favorite tape that you guys have is where Andy and Barney are talking about having to go up in the hills and investigate that case where the husband gave the wife what for.
They
can't play it on TV anymore.
Yeah, that's a great one. Thank you, my friend. We'll do that right now before we even start the show.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I watched a great one the other day where Otis the drunk was, they had to turn Otis into a sheriff because his family was coming into town.
Oh, that's a good one, Mike.
Great episode.
That's a real good one. They get him all clean and sober.
Yeah,
and get
him all clean.
Get him like a Barney uniform.
Yeah, fantastic. And Barney hates it.
So many of Andy and Mayberry's can be taken out of context.
Yeah.
Like we've got the one where the boy is spending the night and Opie says, Paul, are you gonna put Trey and I in bed? And he says, no, Trey's gonna sleep with me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
It's totally innocent for its era.
Or is it?
Oh, stop it.
But Andy is talking about, Opie has to sleep in his own bed, and the strange kid who's visiting will sleep with Andy. And then it's something about his fishing pole. Oh, here it is.
Yes. The comic hole created by the absence of Howard McNair's Floyd the Barber.
No, that's
Rob,
Floyd.
I don't want that. No, you did that on purpose.
Did you do that on purpose, ass?
Yes, he did.
That is an ass move, Rob.
I don't need the Floyd the Barber tape.
Rob.
Damn you, Rob.
They're together again.
This is Rob's wheelhouse right now.
All right, now here's the tape before we get to the great one about wife beating. Mm-hmm. Here's the Andy of Mayberry. Where Andy is a little suspect with the boys.
Yes.
Paul, Trey says he's never been fishing before. So can he and I take turns with my fishing pole?
All right. Better still, I'll let him have one of my poles, and then you can both have one.
Gee, thanks, Sheriff. You can let him use your pole, Paul?
Yeah.
The big one?
Sure.
The big
one. But you all got to get some sleep. I know. One of you come in my room.
Okay, Paul.
Oh, no, wait a minute. You go, Trey. You stay in your own bed.
Yeah. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Got the big pole. Daddy's got the big pole.
He's going to use.
Now,
well, he's going to use. Trey is going to use. If we're really being literal in the translation, Trey is going to use Andy's pole.
That's right.
Now Andy says,
the big
it's time to go to bed, and
right.
His son says, okay, and then Andy
begins to jump out of bed. A normal occurrence for some reason.
Andy wants.
Andy chooses Trey,
the visiting boy, to sleep with him.
Perhaps it's not a more innocent time.
And listen to what. There's like only 10 seconds left.
Trey gonna sleep in your bed, Paul?
Now don't worry about it. You'll see him first thing in the morning. I'll bring him in as soon as he dozes off. Go to sleep. Come on.
Night, Hope.
Night, Hope.
Night, Paul.
I'll bring him in as soon as I've had my way with him.
I don't want to read anything into that, but that is a minimum of 8 to 10 hours in those days, I believe.
Right.
That Opie will not see his friend for 8 to 10 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And he claims he's going to bring him in when he goes to sleep.
He passes out.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Hi, guys.
Hi there.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I just wanted to let you know, in honor of Don Knotts last night, my daughters and I watched Mr. Limpet.
Oh, the incredible Mr. Limpet.
Yeah, that's
fantastic.
Good movie.
You know what?
We love that movie.
Thank you. Thank you for the call.
That is, you know, I got to show my kids that. I wonder if they've seen any of those. I got to show my kids those.
I think if you really want to go back, also, The Reluctant Astronaut.
It's a good one.
Of all the things that he did after he was Barney Fife, that might have been the funniest one.
The genius that is the Apple Dumpling Gang.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, that's where we part. That's where we'll part.
Oh, you've got two geniuses. You've got Don Knotts and Tim Conway.
That dwarf on golf. Hello.
Tim Conway was funny on this show.
Don and Mike show.
You made us laugh legitimately.
He's high. Yeah. don't you remember, seriously, he was on some...
He was funny. That's all I remember.
Oh, he was good, but he was on some type of... He is on continually on some type of
Well, he was
meditation.
On talk. The reason he was on was talking about, like, your stomach exploding or something. That was his mission.
Stomach affliction, yeah.
Something like if you take an aspirin a day, which I do, that your stomach will explode.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Ray of Gods.
Hi there.
Yeah, do you realize the Oscars going to run 30 minutes longer now?
The Oscars?
Yeah, they're going to let all the In Memoriam. We have three new dead guys.
Oh, listen, Don Knotts will not be mentioned at the Oscars.
Yeah,
the incredible Mr. Limpet. Come on.
He'll get mentioned.
Yeah, I think he will. Yeah.
All right, gosh, certainly, and maybe the guy from
you know what? Here's
A Christmas Story. But Dennis Weaver doesn't have a very long film career, does he?
No, he's Gunsmoke and McCloud and Gentle Ben.
You know what? At best, it'll be a 15-second montage. It's not going to add a half an hour to the
Oscars.
Who
are they going
to
freeze on at the end?
Oh, we can only hope.
Was it last year? It was Johnny?
Yeah.
I think it was Johnny.
Johnny. Yeah. He hosted like five times, right?
Right. Trying to think. I mean, it usually...
I just think every year it should just... The entire Oscar should just be this. Should just be you hear the audio, but all you see is a still picture of Billy Crystal from Mr. Saturday Night. That's all. Just because you know me, I love Billy. I can't get enough Billy.
Don't get me started.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to the Oscars because of Jon Stewart. I'm such a fan of Jon Stewart's. I hope Jon Stewart does what he's done with a lot of things. I think he's got the potential to be a really good host.
Here's the last Andy of Mayberry tape. Now, this one also features Don Knotts. This is so great.
This is about inappropriate beating.
Yes. Now, there's a guy from Raleigh, from the field office in Raleigh, who's big into stats.
Mm-hmm.
And
crime stats.
He's predicting that even though there's no crime in Mayberry, very soon they're going to have any amount of things happening.
Gives you a good perspective on what they do and don't think is crime in Mayberry.
Mm-hmm. Now, at one point he says... We're going to have, you're going to have a wife beating.
Mm-hmm.
And they both say, this doesn't happen. Yeah. Then the phone rings, and lo and behold, she just wouldn't listen.
Yes.
Wow.
Here it is.
See how seriously they take it.
Our tribute, but this is a tribute to Don Knotts, but also it's a good chance to play the best Mayberry tape.
Right. Here we go.
What's all this stuff over here? Right. It looks like a graph.
What's that?
Well, it's a statistical chart. Covering the pattern of crimes in Mayberry over the years, and with this as a basis, predicting the course of law violations during the current year. Like it?
Yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah, it is real good looking with all the Crayola work and everything on it. But I tell you the truth, we don't go in too much for charts. We mostly work with the people.
Yeah, this is usually a bunch of nonsense.
Don't underestimate statistics. Sometimes their accuracy can be uncanny, especially in the field of prediction according to past patterns.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, before the month is out, I venture to say you'll have 12 traffic violations, 3 break-in and enterings, 1 wife-beating case, 1 vagrancy.
Wife-beating?
No. Yeah?
No.
Because according to past patterns, it should happen.
That's a laugh, huh, Andy? A chart predicting crimes like it was some kind of a crystal ball or something.
So they've just gone right by it.
Yeah.
You're going to have 12 traffic citations, a wife-beating, ha-ha.
Laugh it off.
And instead of choosing like a traffic accident to have happen, look what they choose on the show. There's the phone.
There it is.
Hello, Sheriff Teddy speaking.
What's B-Wax calling?
Look at this.
Well, yeah, I'll get a man right on that. Much obliged, Grace. Well, what do you know? Your crystal ball seems to be working. Ed Simpkins just give his wife what for.
Last track.
What happened this month, but I didn't figure out this kind of timing.
I'll get right out on the case, Andy.
So they what they did, think about this, what they did was pick the crime that would at least offend anybody's sensibilities.
That's right, in 1962 or whenever that was.
And we didn't sweeten that with any of our own laughs.
No.
What it is...
Give his wife what for? Big laugh.
Yeah. And give his wife what for?
The laugh of recognition.
But it is, it should be also pointed out, it was considered a crime back in Mayberry, because they're talking about crime statistics.
Right.
That's why Rob never moved to Mayberry.
Like littering.
Rob will never move to Mayberry. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
I just wanted to tell you that I saw an incarnation of Barney Fife in Berkeley Springs on Saturday. We were at a parking meter, and a meter person was giving out tickets, and I looked at this thing, and I said, geez, it looks like Barney Fife, and it turns out it was a woman. But did you guys know that he was born in West Virginia?
Yep, I knew
that.
Bye!
Bye.
Yep, knew that. Well, yeah, I think a woman looking like Barney Fife would be pretty.
Yeah.
Betcha.
This has got to be moved to the computer.
Bye!
That's nice.
That might be a good way of
getting rid of
callers.
Certainly less violent. Yeah, but you know us. We'll tire of it a couple of days.
Of course.
But for now, it's great.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike and Buzz and Rob and everybody. How you guys doing?
Very well, thank you.
I just wanted to point out Dennis Weaver was in Spielberg's first ever movie, Duel. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Duel.
Okay. All right. Thank you, my friend.
Okay.
All right. Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hey.
I wanted to mention Darren McGavin died, right?
Right.
Bye!
So I just want
to... Jesus.
And The Father and the Christmas Story is what he's most famous for.
Most famous.
Yeah, but he had a lot of great roles on TV.
The Night Stalker.
Wasn't he also indicating that we didn't know that? I mean, that's why
I believe he was the bye.
I think
the bye was justified.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyway, that's
the Barney bye. That's what it'll henceforth be referred to as.
Yeah, it's got to have.
It's
got to have its own slot in the computer.
Bye.
The Barney bye.
All right, so there you go. We've covered the news of the day, and we'll start the laughing place, and then I do have to tell you about the weekend.
You did some traveling.
I did some traveling, and Jack, I'm going to do my best to keep it in my pants.
Okay.
There was a lot of stuff that happened to me over the weekend.
I am looking forward to hearing about specifically your return.
Oh, my God. I got on the way out while I was there.
Right.
The hassle
that is modern-day travel.
Yep. I've not even told you about my dogs, have I?
You alluded to it, but I'm most curious about that and also your return trip. I'm dying to hear about that because you haven't let the cat out of the bag to any of us about that.
No, got a lot. So again, I'm not going to be paying the $75 to Dr. Bombay.
No,
I'll be using this time on our show. But before I start psychoanalyzing myself and the weekend, let's do this.
Boy, am I alive. I think about my life again.
It's a wife beating in Mayberry.
Old so-and-so just gave his wife what fur. You better get up there, Barney.
Bye now.
Bye.
The following takes place between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Or between 2 and 6, or between 1 and 5, or noon and 4. Or, you know, just check your local listings.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Yes, for those of you like myself who...
Hello.
...wondered why did you buy Greg Kinn's greatest hit? This would be one of the two reasons. You've got your Jeopardy.
Yeah.
And you've got your breakup song. And beyond that, you've got a very nice coaster.
Hello!
Hi there. Okay. Hi, Dynamite.
We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hello.
Hello there. Oh, let's bring in Robbie. There we go.
You really frightened those nice Jews, young man.
How's built of trash?
A clown?
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Fife, and all the ships at sea. Together, they They won the same number of medals as Bodie Miller, Don Geronimo,
hello,
and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah, downhill.
Yeah. The downhill.
Downhill.
Yeah.
I'm so sad the Olympics are over.
Yes, no one cried more when the torch was extinguished than you.
I'm so down about that. I was so into the ceremony last night, which looked like it could have really been put together by the group of kids that I was doing the dance for in 1975.
Hey, if you want to really make a ceremony special, you hire Ricky Martin. Right?
I mean, whose idea is it to have like athletes come out on stilts? And wearing Dr. Seuss hats.
And I don't know why all the Italian women were dressed as brides. In their virginal white.
This is the Don and Mike Show. And it's a new episode, everybody, on this Monday.
Monday!
0227 Hot 6.
I got Mike Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
Hi there, Buzz. And here's your phone number. You can call us from anywhere in America. The main number. The main mother is 877-365-3636. Or you can call us at 800-636-1067. Or you can call us. If you're listening on WJFK in D.C., you can call 202-432-1067. Want to hear us on the intronet? Go to DonnaMikeWebsite.com and just click on Listen Live. And you're going to get the stream. I want to tell you, I got this on the flight back from Minneapolis on Northwest Airlines.
Yeah.
This is what it is it's the frozen chunk that falls out.
That's when it's blue?
Yeah. Oh. So don't drink it today.
Right.
But what I did was I had it in dry ice. I asked, I said, before I got on any flight, I say, incidentally, in the men's room and the ladies' room, do you have the big
chunk of ice that you're going to let go?
They're going to drop over Topeka. And they say yes, and then I pull out my medical hazard bag.
And you take it with you and melt it.
Yes, and today...
And look at it now. That is blue. It looks like one of those little blue liqueurs.
So when you click on the stream today, DonnaMikeWebsite.com to hear us on the internet, remember, no drinking.
Toxic.
No drinking. No touchy.
Toxic waste.
Just listen. And always remember, shake, shake. Shake, shake your internet. Okay, and if you want to email us, you can do that now. Send us electronic mail, DonandMikeWebsite.com.
Wonderful.
That goes right into the back room. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Good morning, Don and Mike. How are you?
Yes, good morning.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I just want to say thanks to you guys. Oh.
All right, yes. Well, you're welcome.
Yes, anytime.
Well, I've been working in Louisiana for that Katrina thing, and it's been great listening to you guys on the internet. You know, working 12 hours a day, you guys have gotten us through it. So thanks, and back here in California for a short visit. We're headed back out there again for another 6 months.
Bye!
Whoa, that gave me a start.
Thank you. He was saying something
that
very nice.
That gave me a start. Well, I kind of nodded out. What happened? What was he talking about?
Something about Katrina. Yeah.
The hurricane?
He's working with hurricane relief or something.
He was. Well, what the hell is he doing in California then?
I think that was Michael Brown.
Oh, okay. FEMA director.
Right. Hello there. Great. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, I did see, hold on one second, when they're talking about Fat Tuesday and all the people that are going to be in New Orleans for Mardi Gras.
Yep.
You know, I guess it's private companies that are financing a lot of this, but
right.
I had to wonder when I was looking on the screen today when they're flashing the facts that the most expensive float this year in the parade costs $800,000.
Wow. Right.
Now, whatever company it is that's helping out by spending almost $1 million
on a float.
On a float,
right.
I would think, wouldn't that be, better spent?
That would buy some housing, for example.
Yeah, you know.
Well, not necessarily housing. I was thinking those plastic beads.
Oh, yeah.
Also good.
That would buy a lot of those.
Yeah,
everyone could have them, and the women might not even have to flash.
That's a lot of money, for Chocolate City. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Yeah,
excuse me, Chocolate City 2.
Right.
D.C.'s always been Chocolate City.
Right.
I'm sorry, excuse me, what?
Convention today.
Hold on, sir. Sir, first of all, you've been drinking?
No.
Okay, let's start over.
Start over, please.
Let's start over. Hi, my name is Don. This is my buddy Mike.
How do you do?
I was just wondering if you've been having any problems with your satellite. I've been trying to connect up on the internet for about a half hour now, and it won't get through.
Yes, you mean our satellite, our internet satellite?
Yeah, your internet connection. Every time I do it, just
Rob, did you check the Dynamite satellite?
It just keeps
meant to tell you.
Saying it's trying to connect and it won't go through.
Mm-hmm. It's my fault for not mentioning it at about like quarter to three. It fell out.
Oh. The satellite today is currently out of orbit.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Good luck to you.
Bye.
Bye.
You know what? And when you get a call like that, that was, I think, the perfect use of the Don Knotts tape. That was the perfect. Just loud enough.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
Hi, we're doing very well, thank you.
I saw DCR TV today. They had a link to some top 100 list, and I wanted to congratulate you on being in number 64 on that list.
Bye.
Okay. Bye. Listen, that's something that's so worthless. We've talked about that before. It's a magazine that nobody in the industry reads.
The Vote for Yourself contest.
Yeah, well, no, not that one. It's the Talkers magazine, Heavy 100 in Talk Radio.
Ah.
Right. And they have us listed as the 65th, whatever, bestest show.
Well, we're just going to have to try harder.
So, yeah, I'm very excited about that.
Right.
As you can tell.
Of
that
course.
Hey, you know what?
Meant
a lot.
I've never seen you quite this excited. Do we get anything for it?
Jacked up I am. No, Mike, I think you got a place at least in the top 60.
Top 60. Damn it, we miss again.
So close.
Miss it. Story of our lives.
Miss it by that much.
Just missing.
Okay, here we go. Now, I got a lot to get out, so bear with me. It's about the weekend.
Yes.
I'm going to Minneapolis to see Amy, my daughter, and her husband, and the grandchildren. Now, I had told you that they recently moved into a new house.
Very excited for them.
And on Friday, was even kidding, saying, you know, they don't know that I'm, you know, no good around the house, and I'm just going to be awful, like, moving and stuff. Well, as it turns out, I didn't even mention this on the air. During the show on Friday, I was speaking to her during a commercial break, and she said, hey, I got a great surprise that we're all moved in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything is done. We didn't even tell you because now you just come out and have a good weekend.
Hey, no boxes to move.
Oh, right. Wonderful. I mean, she says, we are totally unpacked. Everything is done. There's no boxes. So I said, oh, great. Social.
Perfect.
Yeah. Then she says, oh, yeah. And mom says she's going to come over and bring some sandwiches.
All right.
Now, this is...
be your ex-wife.
My ex.
Your ex.
So... I said, okay, you know, sure, because I've been up there a couple of times and have worked things out as much as I can with Dawn, with my first. See, I was married when I was 18, you know, high school sweetheart, did the whole thing, and then 6 months later said, whoa. Bad.
Whoa,
this is bad, and she didn't necessarily disagree.
Mm-hmm.
So... But we have not remained, you know, which is BS when especially with celebrities, you know, when they break up.
We're still good friends.
And even put out like a press release,
right.
I'll always love it. Well, come on, if you'll always love him, why are you getting divorced?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, come on, bitch. And same with men, with male movie stars.
Right. Right.
I really regret the fact that I'll always be best friends with Jennifer Aniston. Mm-hmm. She means so much to me. But, you know,
still very close.
But I'd really, you know, rather bang, you know. And, what's her name?
Angelina Jolie.
Right. Laura Croft. So anyway.
But really, you're not talking about Hillary Swank and Chad Lowe, okay?
No, I'm not.
Let's not go over that line. No. You know how I feel about those kids. Don, they're still desperately trying to work it out. And I, for one, am pulling for them.
Good for you. Boys don't cry.
Right.
Say what you will about
Chad Lowe does.
She will never.
He's got to do that a little less, in my opinion.
She will never live that down,
right.
In my humble opinion.
Mm-hmm.
They can fix her up as pretty as. And I mean, I've seen her fixed up.
She's got a nice bod.
Yeah, but watch
that
movie.
She wore that one gown, and she looks like she, you know. What, you mean that one movie where they kind of strapped her down?
Yeah, the one that I referenced.
Yeah,
that's right, where she's a boy.
Yeah, but then her husband, you know, boys don't cry, but her husband was like. Too much so.
Yeah.
So, too many.
So the deal is, I get up at the crack of dawn. You know, no big deal. I'm an early riser anyway. Get out to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
No problems with TSA as usual. And actually, things are moving faster at the airport in my humble estimation.
Yeah, I've been to a number of airports around the country. I would like to tip my hat to all the guys out at Dulles. I think they do a great job. I think they really do a better job than a lot of other airports in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that to people when I'm like in a six-hour line in other airports around the country.
Wow. So I get on the plane, and I'm thinking this is going to be nice. It's whatever it is. It's a two-and-a-half, three-hour flight to Minneapolis.
Right.
I'm going to, you know, rent a car. I get in the car, and I've got the thing in the car with you, the navigation device.
Oh, yes, right.
So I just put in the address, mm-hmm. and I'm just chilling out, and I'm thinking this is going to be good. But still, I'm nervous. This is all still, even though I talk to Amy many times a day on the telephone. We talk about a range of things, and I've seen her, you know, I mean, not as much as I would have liked to since we've come back together since Frieda's passing, but we still are as connected as we can be at this point.
Right.
And I'm looking forward to it. So I get to the house. It's a nice house. I go inside. I'm there maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes,
mm-hmm.
a half hour tops. Okay. Here's what happens. I get there, and it's just my son-in-law, Josh, and he's happy to see me. And I say, hey, what's happening? Where's Amy? And he said, oh, she had to go out to the store with the kids. She'll be right back. I said, all right, that's cool. So I sat down with him, and we're talking about things, and Amy showed up, and the kids were there, and then the doorbell rang, and it was my ex-wife coming over.
Oh, terrific.
Yes.
Great timing.
Couldn't have been nicer. She brought just crock pot after crock pot of food.
Oh, that's nice.
And I was thinking, you know what? For me?
Is she a good cook?
Mike, they brought lots of food.
There you go. Very generous.
They brought lots of food.
Very generous. Well, everything tastes good in a crock pot.
They brought lots of food. And the thing, God, I got to be so freaking careful with this.
I know.
This is so delicate. The reason that they came with all of the food, and by they, I mean my ex and her husband and their daughter.
Uh-huh.
The reason that they were all there was they had, I guess, decided that Saturday would be the day that they would come over and they would hang curtain rods and blinds and do all of the light fixtures.
Oh, wonderful. And the window treatments? That's good.
Yeah, so they were so...
Again, very nice.
Yeah, very nice. Uh-huh. It just happened.
Very nice to do that. It's a pain in most houses.
Yeah. Very nice to do it. Just, you know, a weird coincidence that, you know...
Mm-hmm.
I'm there, and as it turns out, just surrounded by everybody. I mean, my ex, I actually was telling Mike, over the weekend, I spent more time talking with my ex-wife than I did with my daughter.
Oh. Well, that's a bonus.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that.
Wow.
Couldn't be happier.
Sure.
So, you know, they were there.
Mm.
They were there, and
would imagine in the best situation
for me,
got to be a little awkward. I would think
that was just the word. I'm already insecure to begin with,
and that's no slam against your ex-wife. That's in most situations that.
I'm already insecure to begin with. You know, I mean, I'm not so familiar yet that incidentally I get the luxury, but that I get picked up at the airport. You know, I mean, I got to rent a car. I got, you know, I'm still at that stage.
Right.
You know, it's like I stay at a hotel. I don't stay at their house. It's like I respect the privacy. We're learning each other's, you know, feeling our way around this.
Of course.
And it's just they were there, and they were there all day long. Oh. And I'm sure that he was not going out of his way, the Mr. Man.
Right.
But, my gosh, he seemed to be on a mission to, like, get on the home improvement show.
Uh-huh.
He was just, there was the task at hand.
And there's nothing you can do in that circumstance either.
Nothing is going to stop him from making his measurements and finding the spot in the wall. And
did you offer help at all? Or
no.
Did you? No. Did
no.
he give the vibe off like, you know, I got it in control?
No. He did not give that vibe off at all. My vibe that I was giving off,
uh-huh.
and I wasn't giving it off strongly enough, was I was, God, I was so freaking polite as I was sitting there just watching him put up drapery and having to make small talk with my ex-wife's husband. I didn't want to say, like, listen, can I help you? Because really, I came up there to see the grandkids and my daughter.
Right.
And I did have lots of great time with the grandkids.
Oh, good.
But then more people showed up. Friends of my ex-wife's daughter. She and the other guy have a kid.
Uh-huh.
So they brought their kid over, and then some of that kid's friends came over.
Huh. So you had and the
the younger child is how old? The younger child of your ex-wife is
14.
So there were more 14-year-olds?
Yes, and they were all to that. They're all at that stage. I know it's not personal against me.
Right, that's true.
No, I've heard about that age.
They just hate everybody.
That's right.
You've been through that age with your son.
You know, 14-year-old girls, they hate everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, at one point, I was just sitting in the living room, and I did have the smallest one with me, Carly.
Uh-huh.
She's just turned one,
wow.
Like one and a half, and we're watching whatever it was, SpongeBob or whatever, because Amy was doing something with her mom,
uh-huh.
And Josh, my son-in-law, was busy being Norm to this guy being Bob Vila.
Right, oh boy, tough situation.
And teenagers were running around, and the little boy was running around, and then I got the call from downstairs, and there was a, hey, Mike, you got a minute? Can you come down? So I go downstairs, and I think, okay, this is where I'm going to be pulled into, but it's okay, you know, putting up these lighting fixtures.
Well, I'm sure that you were welcoming that, probably, right? I mean, there's like now a chance for you to be handy too.
Not really. I mean, I didn't want to, Mike. I didn't want to do it. I mean, I wanted to just go out there and see these people. I don't want.
Right.
I didn't want to spend, you know, 36, 44 hours, whatever it was, changing light bulbs with my father-in-law. I mean, not with my father-in-law, with her. You know what I mean?
With
the guy that married my ex-wife.
Right. Well, what did they holler for you? What did they want you to come down?
They needed a beer run. So I said, that's a job that's right up my alley.
Did you welcome that at the time? Was that to
get out of the house?
Yeah, sure.
Maybe for a minute.
I said, just tell me where the place is, and I'll, you know.
And I'll drive farther.
How many did you drink on the way back from the liquor store?
Well, I didn't look like too much of an alky, because I come back with whatever it was that they had requested,
uh-huh.
Something to make a frozen margaritas with,
right.
And some beer, yeah. And there I am with just the biggest bottle of vanilla vodka.
There you go.
Sure.
Hey, that's
it's like, so I come in the door.
It's worked for my family for years.
I walk in and I go, okay, I got what everybody needed. I said, and I got this for me. And I mean, it made a resounding thud when I put it on the table. I said, I will try very hard not to drink all of it tonight. And
did that get a laugh?
That, like everything that I said over the weekend, just died.
Crickets.
Died.
Right.
I mean, I was trying my hardest with these folk,
right,
to be charming. And not that they were not charming in return, but it was just nothing I was throwing out was working.
Well, no matter what level of closeness you have, you do have the issue of geography. So that's always going to be the thing.
So when I decided that maybe I should beat a hasty retreat, at least for Saturday, let me see. I got there at about noon. They all showed up at about 12:45.
Right.
Then I went to the liquor store.
Uh-huh.
I checked into the hotel.
Right.
Because I was going to have to do that, a hotel close to the house. Came back. And when I came back and dropped off the booze and everything,
mm-hmm.
Everybody had a drink.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The teenage girls had non-alcoholic drinks.
And right.
Then Amy had to put the kids to bed. And Major Dad was still putting in the light fixtures.
When you say putting in the light fixtures, like
in the basement.
They were actually installing the electronics?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So he was down there, like, grounding wires
and
stuff.
With the drop ceiling and stuff like
correct.
That? Correct. Okay.
So he's down there doing that. And he's got Josh, my son-in-law, down there.
Right.
And two of the grandkids are asleep. The third one is being rocked asleep by Amy, who's out of the room. Dawn is in the computer room. And at 10:30 on Saturday night, I am sitting on the couch with two teenage girls who just think that I might as well just be a walking turd. And we were watching Date My Mom on MTV.
Oh, you love that.
God. Oh, and God, boy, do I, Buzz.
Wow.
Do I love it.
They left you with the 14-year-olds?
Well, I mean, not so much left. It's just like
that's where you ended up.
That's. I mean, what am I going to do?
Actually going to go into the computer room. I guess.
I did. No, hold on. I did.
You did.
Listen, I was desperate. I went downstairs. I made small talk with those that were doing manly work. You know, downstairs. But whoa, that is some project. Huh? Look at that. I could never do this. I'm looking at the ceiling and going, oh, what do you think about the Packers this year? Huh? Think about Favre. Yeah. All right. Well, I tell you what. I'll check back with you guys a little later. Then I went upstairs and saw again the the angst girls watching whatever they're watching. And I thought,
angst girls.
I'm gonna make a left hand turn. And
was there any black nail polish in the room?
Yeah. No toenail polish. Black toenail polish. I think I'm gonna hang a left and I'm gonna go see what Dawn's doing.
Right.
And she was working on a computer.
Yeah.
And I actually was standing there for maybe 10 minutes behind her, not saying anything, just saying, like, when a prompt wouldn't come up on the screen, I was standing behind her saying, oh, maybe you should do that. Maybe you should push C, see what happens there. Mm-hmm. Look, it says progress. Well, you're making slow progress, but it's reading the information.
Right.
And she would just go, uh-huh.
You were trying to make conversation.
You know, I was talking to the back of her head.
Right.
You know.
Wasn't getting it.
She was going, uh-huh. So I left, and then I thought, well, tomorrow's a new day.
Yes.
Sunday is a new day. And really, I'm not bitching about this. It was just uncomfortable as hell.
Right.
And I don't, maybe they had planned for weeks to come out and do all this stuff on this day. Or maybe they're uptight that I'm there, or maybe I'm just paranoid. I don't know. All I know is that I spent an awful lot of time with my ex-wife and her husband.
Yeah.
And not so much time with my uncle. But so I go back to the hotel on Saturday night and
finish the bottle. Did you bring the bottle with you or did you leave it there?
No, I left it. Now,
you had another one in the car, though, didn't you?
Now, this is where it gets hairy. I didn't know what was happening at my house on Saturday night. I should tell you up front that Adrian, okay, that's her name,
mm-hmm.
the girl that's not my girlfriend.
Uh-huh. Formerly Miss X.
She was house-sitting for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because she lives in the neighborhood, and it's, well, that you got more information than you need already.
Okay.
And she has a dog, and she's been over at my house a couple of times with her dog, and I would rather have someone stay with my dogs than board them or put them in a kennel.
Sure.
She doesn't call me and bother me, but as it turns out, on Saturday night something happened, because I find out on Sunday morning, I get up and I call home just to make sure that everything is cool with the dog, and she's very upset, and she said, this is so awful. I said, how are things going? It sounds like she's crying.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, oh, great. What is
it? Oh, no.
What is it? She said that Colonel Klink, my German Shepherd, for some reason had gotten in a fight with her dog, her bulldog, and when she went out, when she went out on the front porch, and they've been together, they've played together before, and they've gotten along. Klink had his the bulldog's mouth head in his entire mouth, and
Klink's a big dog.
Yeah, he's a big German Shepherd. And at first I thought, you know, maybe I'm getting a little of the exaggeration here.
She got one of the big, the English bulldogs, or does she have a little bulldog?
No, it's an English bulldog.
So that's a big head.
So I said,
Jesus.
I said, well, what was the deal? And she said, well, I didn't want to call you because, I mean, what could you do? You were all the way out there.
Right.
But I brought the dog inside and put him into the sink, and his eyeball was coming out of the socket.
Oh, my God.
And there was a lot of blood.
Oh.
So she had to take her dog to the emergency vet. And fortunately, my dog, the animal, did not bite out her dog's eyeball.
Buffy the Deer Killer.
What a relief.
Yeah, right. My dog, who I keep telling people all the time is just the sweetest dog in the world.
Right.
And it opens the door for the UPS guy.
Well, I really, it's a size issue. Clink's got some big old choppers.
Well, I don't know. All I know is that...
How's the bulldog going to be?
Well, she said the bulldog is fine. Now, there was... I don't think there were any stitches.
Okay.
The dog, she said, did have to have a bunch of hair shaved on the top of its head from where Klink bit in the top of its head.
It's like a pirate now.
But she was, and I mean, now this is not funny.
Well, dogs fight, though. I mean, you know, it happens.
They fight, they play.
But apparently came very close to actually pulling out the eyeball of this dog. And I'm on the telephone in the hotel room in Minneapolis getting this on Sunday morning. And I'm, you know, on one hand, I said, well, God, Jesus Christ, I'm sorry, but I'm thinking now,
How can I ever discipline Clink about this? He's
right.
a dog.
Right.
Well, and you can't do it after the fact.
He ain't gonna know what's going on.
Right.
So I said to her, "So what are you doing now?" And she said, "Well, I've got Clink outside, and the other two are inside, okay." And I said, "Okay, well, good. Well, Max is a good, sweet dog. Mm-hmm. That's my little terrier." And she said, "Yeah, he was real good. That she was sitting on the couch and she had her dog on one side and Max on the other, and then Max all of a sudden." And I don't doubt, I mean, what reason does she have to make this up that her dog is starting these fights? She said Max jumped over to get at her dog, and anyway, my dog bit her like
her.
Bit her right, not on her boob, but right like by her armpit area.
Wow. Oh, dear.
Yeah, so my tremendously vicious animals... like almost ate her dog and
ate her
and yeah ate her.
Wow,
jeepers.
So the
little one bit.
Yeah, a little one bit.
Wow.
You know, because I was saying, I'm on the phone saying, "Gosh, you know, I'm so sorry that happened, and I don't know what to tell you about it." But Max is a good boy. And she said, "Oh yeah, no, I didn't tell you about that, about him biting me."
Oh God! Wow.
And I saw the.
No, it's probably a new experience for them, right? And they're a little uptight.
I guess they are. I don't know. It was just like, boy, that's a lot. It said, so what happened? Well, I had to take him to the vet and wrap him up, and they gave me cream, and it's like his eye is full of blood now.
Oh,
and,
wow!
And you know, meanwhile, you know, you've got, you know, my goddamn dumb dogs. Because I'm upset.
Were they hungry?
I'm upset and I'm mad. But it's like I said to her, and she was cool. She said, you know, I couldn't call you last night. What could you possibly do?
Right.
I did the best I could with the situation. So I hang up the phone. It's turning out to be a great weekend.
Jesus, it sounds like it.
So I give her a game plan. I say, you know, listen, just take your dog and go back. You know, take your dog back to your house. Mm-hmm. You know, just because she lives close enough. Just take your dog back to your house and stay with your dog there and just, you know, I'll be home later this afternoon.
Right.
So then I get in the car and I'm going to go back now to my daughter's house.
Right.
Where I'm going to get to spend, at least by my estimation, 4 hours before the plane has to leave.
Oh, good. Good.
Have a nice, have the visit you didn't get a chance to do on Saturday.
Yeah, well,
just you and
so we'll pick it up. We'll pick it up when we come back.
I'm glad it's going to turn around.
Yeah. It's been a five-star friggin' weekend.
Jesus, sounds like it.
Five-star weekend.
Watch out for those dogs.
Yeah, my dog. You know, and like last night when I get home.
That's weird.
It's like, you know, but it's like I look at them and I know when I talk to them, it sounds like,
right? It's all about tone.
And I'm looking at him going, "You guys are killing me. What are you doing? And meanwhile, they're just looking at me like, "We're so glad you're home. We're so glad you're home.
There's some other strangers over the weekend. We beat them up, though." You should be very proud of us.
I know they probably miss me, and they're not used to change and everything,
right.
But this is not a total stranger, and this is a dog that they have been with before.
Right. When I used to have a new babysitter, I'd always bite the babysitter.
Hello?
Hey, Don. Hey, I was just thinking, you don't think possibly your dogs are trying to... I guess they're just not used to having any other female in the house besides.
No, sir. See, there you would be wrong, because as everybody who really knows me knows, there has been a constant parade. There has been a veritable parade of stink,
both pro and non-pro,
coming through my door. So
right.
No, let me just say the smell of woman is everywhere. No, that didn't have anything to
do with it. Well, and that woman's been over there with her dog, too, right?
Yeah, right. Yes, right.
Very odd.
No, and Clink is with other women who are in the neighborhood, and he goes on runs with them, and I don't know.
You never know. You never know with dogs. You never know what's going to set them off.
I don't know. It was just, it was real, you know, I was just, I opened up the window, or the curtain on Sunday morning at the hotel that I was staying at, looked outside and saw two. That would be the temperature.
Yeah.
Hey.
Two.
Yeah, we complain around here. We don't have it that bad.
No. I saw two, and then I got the news about my dog, and I thought, well, you know what? I will do better. I will feel better because I will go down and get in the car, and I will go to see my daughter.
Good, and I'm glad you had a nice visit.
Quality.
Did I tell you when I went downstairs that, darn the luck, out of all the cars in the world, mine had a dead battery?
Because it's 2 degrees. All you need is to have a little weakness in that battery, and it won't start in that weather.
It's 2 degrees, huh. So I got the great news about my dogs. And
what kind
of
car did you have?
I don't know, a rental, a Lincoln.
A Lincoln?
A Lincoln.
So you had a nice car.
Yeah. Well, you know, Mike, got to show off a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, there you go with those Ford products.
So, anyway, get out there, and it's like, it's so dead that all it is click, 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 yeah. Click, 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 click. And I'm like, oh.
I'm afraid your battery's dead. Mister, you're going to have to take the snow right. Cat.
But now I'm working with the against the clock, thinking, oh, yeah. Now this is like the last frigging thing I need today. But that's when Minnesota Nice happens.
Ah, good. Yes, they are friendly up there.
Yeah, I went inside and I said to the guy, I said, oh, you're not going to believe this. And he said, car won't start, huh? I said, right. He says, tow truck's on the way over. Everybody's getting a free charge this morning.
Oh, so you weren't the only one then?
No, there was like 5 or 6 other people whose cars would not start.
You get under 5, and that's when that kind of happens.
You're on your own.
So,
yeah. Well, don't those houses, a lot of them in the garages and at different places have the the battery attachments?
Engine heaters.
Engine heaters. Yeah. Engine block heaters.
Plug it into an outlet.
All right, so the car's frozen, but it's not frozen, and I get in the car, and I go over there, and then, hold on, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Just weight room modification, man. 2 testosterone. We in the middle of camp.
Big word. That's big word.
That's what happened.
What's that word again? Testosterone.
Yeah, all that big stuff. At home, say it. Testosterone.
Yeah. See, now he got a little Princeton. I guess he went to school at. I don't know. I went to Savannah State. You know what I mean? So we talk real. Illiterate. That's about to say.
Yeah. I hear you.
Uh oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Right. Here we go. From Atlanta,
Georgia. They have an eye for the unexpected. Don and Mike.
Yeah, we do. Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. Mike. Mike Portland, Maine.
Yeah.
Portland, hello up in Portland.
In the house.
That's right, very good. Hey, wicked good.
Yo, hey, wicked dog, wicked.
You know what the favorite saying? I've taught to younger people that are sons of my cousins up there, and the thing that we say that they enjoy the most, the kids up there in Portland like the most, make the beast.
Is that what the teens are liking, Mike?
They love the make the beast. See, that's what I was told. I was told that by one of my cousins. More of my nephews. I don't know. How does it work? How does it work when your cousin has a kid? What's it called? Is that a
second
nephew?
Cousin? That second would be cousin?
Second cousin. Second cousin. I don't know.
That would be
words.
It.
Yeah. I went to American University. We talk real illiterate.
Don, my dog had the same experience as your dog. Bit my fiance's pugs. Needed stitches. They had puncture marks, and they visited before, a couple hours at a time, and nothing happened. They stayed overnight. Certain spots on the couch the dog jumped up on, the dog freaking attacked right by the neck.
Yeah.
So it was wicked bad, let me tell you.
Wicked bad.
Wicked.
Thank you, and
bye.
Jesus, look at those teeth, Max, all over that dog. By golly, it looks like you're going to have to take that dog to the vet. He's got his eye popped out of his socket.
I mean,
Jesus Christ, what are you going to do? You're not going to be able to duct tape that together.
So, to recap, I've made the flight up to Minneapolis. I've not spent as much time as I would have hoped to with my daughter or husband and the kids.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not to say that I didn't have lots of good rolling on the floor and grandpa time with the kids.
Good.
But still, not satisfying.
Right.
So, Sunday morning, get up, get the call about, my crazy dogs. Then go downstairs, and the car doesn't start.
2 degrees.
Wait for the guy with the jump. The guy's real cool. Mm-hmm. Actually make it to my daughter's house by 9 o'clock.
So you're looking for, this is when you're going to have your real quality time with your daughter.
Good. Now the fact that the car wouldn't start, that has taken about a half hour off.
Okay, you're down to like 3.5 hours.
Yeah, maybe. But still I'm thinking, I'm going to get some good time.
Right.
So I knock on the door, and then I remember what they said. Well, don't knock, just come on over.
Oh.
So I open the door, but, it will not, the damn thing will not open. Oh. So I'm like going... Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello? 7 degrees.
Yeah. Oh, it's good. Oh, it's warmed up.
Hi. Hello. Good morning. Finally, the door opens up, and it's the daughter of my ex. As it turns out, she spent the night.
Okay.
She and her friend.
Oh, the friend. Spent
the night.
The 14-year-old.
Right. they both gave me a look that indicated, oh, he's back.
Yeah.
Right? So,
in fairness to you, though, they would probably give that look to everybody.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the age.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, who's a teen heartthrob? Conway West could have been standing there.
Conway?
Conway West.
Conway West.
No, Buzz.
C-O-N-W-A-Y.
Like George Twitty. Bush doesn't care about black people.
That's right.
Conway.
That's right. It's Kanye Twitty
right.
and Conway West.
Uh-huh. Or perhaps that rapper 25 Cent.
So it could have been, you know, Conway West. It wouldn't matter.
Right.
I go, hey, well, good morning, girls. Right away realizing, okay, not alone.
Yeah.
There's other people in the house.
Again, did you think when you said, good morning, girls, that maybe that was too friendly?
Yeah, it was way too upbeat. I mean, I'd had coffee.
In order to be cool, don't you just greet them with, hey.
Like, hey, you know, hey. What's happening? So go in and Amy has got one in her arms and the other two are flopping around on the floor. And we're trying to visit a little bit, but the... you know, the two girls, the 14-year-olds, we're in the living room, and they're just sitting across from us, and they're busily watching, who even knew the Talk Soup was still on?
Yeah, no,
on
I didn't.
Exclamation point.
How about that?
So,
that's what you say when your Talk Soup comes on, too. Isn't that something?
not bad, actually, considering that I was sitting there watching this as Amy was changing diapers, and I said, can I do anything to help? And she said, no, there's really nothing you can do to help. Here's the deal. Now, this is where I came very close to losing it, but I did not, and I'm proud.
Good.
She said that because her sister had spent the night at their house, that she was Amy had to wake the girls up, the teenage girls up, and Amy was going to have to get all of her kids dressed and in the car. And the reason being to take the daughter, the sister, her sister, Dawn's daughter, to take her and the friend back to Dawn's house so that they could get cleaned up in time to go to church.
Gotcha.
All right.
Now, I said...
Is Dawn going to... Is Amy going to church with them?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
So she's just dropping them off.
Yes.
All right.
About 15 minutes away.
Yeah.
So...
Gotcha.
What Amy says to me is, you know... I'm very sorry but we're going to have to be leaving here like shortly sure. because I have to take my sister home,
uh-huh.
you know, to mom's. And meanwhile, the whole time inside, I'm just screaming, you know, can't she drive over here herself?
Right.
You know,
right.
Would it kill her to drive
I
over
just
herself?
Just wanted 1 hour you know, of quality time.
That's all. Right. So once again, it was the happy trio. Because Josh, the son-in-law, mm-hmm. now God bless this guy, he's already at work.
Right.
It's Sunday morning. He's already said goodbye to me on Saturday mm-hmm. night. He's already gone into work. He's
wow.
working overtime. He's
mm-hmm.
this guy is the greatest. He's busted his ass.
Right.
So Amy is running around with the three grandkids, getting them ready, getting them dressed to go out over to grandma's
mm-hmm.
with the other two
teenagers.
And again, we're in the same dynamic. Where uh-huh. there's really nothing I can do. I can't dress the kids. They're squirrely. You know, Amy's got her system down. And I'm just sitting again in the living room with these two. And we're watching Talk Soup.
Uh-huh.
And the guy would say something and they would have a clip on. And I would say something like, oh, we've had that guy on our show before.
Uh-huh.
He's funny. And they would just...
Nothing crickets again.
Look at me.
Oh, my God. I've been in the same. You're trying to even
relate or
even now, just relate that, you know, maybe you do a radio show. Maybe that'll get something out. Oh, my God.
And it's not that they.
I interviewed him. Okay.
And here's the thing about these two girls.
Hello, anyone? Paris? Anyone?
Here's the thing about these two girls. Aside from the fact that they were shunning me and it seemed like just about anybody else that was not in, you know, 14 or however old they are.
Right.
They were just having the best time talking, the two of them talking to each other as if I wasn't there,
uh-huh.
which is what really was just pissing me off, that the show is on and we're all watching it, right?
Yeah,
and I would say something and then, you know, I'd get this, And then it would be, they would just turn to the other one and go, oh my God, he's so hot. Yeah, he's so much hotter than the other guy.
And they weren't talking about you.
Well, no, they were obviously not talking about the guy.
Buzz.
Oh, did you see that guy? Oh yeah, God, I saw him. Did you see the movie? Yes, I saw the movie.
So she slept over with her friend.
Yeah.
And you're like invisible.
Yeah. So then,
God, what am I going to do when my daughters get to be that age?
So then Amy came out and, you know, said the stuff about, well, we're going to have to, you know, take them over to Dawn's house, which included, you know, getting all the kids dressed, put all the winter clothes on because it's 7 degrees outside.
Yeah, because her husband's not at home.
Right.
And so, it wasn't like you were going to sit with the grandkids and wait till she got back, right?
I offered.
But no go.
I offered, and no, Amy said no, that, you know, well, the kids might be squirrely without her, and, you know, it would just be easier for, you know, meanwhile, the whole time I'm just whining and screaming, it'll be easier, you know, if your mom just came over and picked up the daughter, that would be what would be easiest.
Well, how far away?
Less than 15. Less than 15 minutes.
Okay, then.
There goes another half hour right there.
Right, so.
So what the hell did you do?
Well, I went to the airport.
Fine.
And as it turns out, they have a tram system that takes you right from the airport to the Mall of America.
Hey, that's cool.
Convenient.
The good way to kill some time.
The Mall of Retardedness.
What time did you get to the airport?
10:15 a.m.
Oh, God.
Not a lot,
that's too bad. I'm sorry.
Not a lot open in the Mall of America.
That's too bad.
On a Sunday morning
at
10:15.
You didn't get your morning visit on Sunday either.
No, I saw them.
Yeah, but I know what you want.
I mean, no, I didn't.
You're trying to build bridges with your daughter who you've been out of her life for a long time, and I know how frustrating that may. There will be other times, right?
Yeah,
there'll be many, many other times.
Oh no, you bet your ass. And I mean, while on the inside, I'm just saying all this and God.
No,
it
but
just
you're portraying
bad.
In such a way. No, you're not saying anything bad about anybody.
No,
it's kind of awkward
circumstances.
You know, it really just pissed me off. It's like, come on. You two got, and I'm talking about my ex here, you know, you know this is the weekend I'm coming up. Even if you had to come over and hang rods and put the lights in, why not do it on Sunday? You know, I know Amy's already told you my schedule,
right,
that I'm going to come in on Saturday, but I got to leave by mid-afternoon on Sunday to get back and get to work.
Sure they
know. You know, it was just, I don't know, it was like a screw job, and I was just playing the pity card at one point. You know, I mean, I was just sitting in this hotel room looking outside. 2 degrees.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Thinking, God damn, what is not upside down in my life right now compared to a year ago? Okay. Bart's fine. Thank God for that.
Mm-hmm.
Frida's gone. That sucks ass. I'm kind of connecting with Amy. That's good. I'm spending way too much time with my ex-wife. That sucks.
Mm-hmm. You've had much more quality time before, right, than this?
Yeah.
This was just a bummer of a circumstance.
Yes. There's another woman, not a girlfriend, but a friend, watching the dogs. The dog goes crazy and eats her dog's eye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't get a friggin' break.
So it sounds like the perfect weekend.
The car don't start. Right. Oh, no. Here's where it really gets perfect. And this has never happened to me before, ever, swear to Christ. On the flight out to Minneapolis, we were on, and I know because I read the booklet, a DC-9.
All right. DC-9, small plane, but not a tiny plane.
Right. Okay. On the way back, we were on a smaller plane. Now, it was not a plane that it did not have propellers.
Okay.
So it was not...
Small jet.
Canadair regional jet.
Something like that. They make the announcement.
How many seats?
75, maybe.
Like two across on each side?
Two
or
on
two
each
in
side.
One.
Two on each side.
Okay.
Two on the left, two on the right.
A little bigger than that, maybe. Right. All right.
So they announced that there's really not a lot of room inside the plane. Oh. That, like, with your carry-on stuff, you're going to... The thing that's saying that the overhead compartments were too big, were too small. Mm-hmm. So just leave your bag by the door, and they'll put it in the underneath the plane, and you get it when you get off the plane.
Always a comfy ride.
So we get on the plane, and... Listen, there's just no way to put this delicately. I used to weigh about 290 pounds at my fattest, okay? I now weigh like 188, something like that. But I'm still fat. And I have all the empathy in the world for fat people.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
There were, on this flight...
I used to weigh 296 pounds.
There
I now weigh 269 pounds.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Just thought I'd throw that in there since the start.
You know what, you are the goddamn yo-yo. Really, yeah. You're the yo-yo-iest.
Yeah, yeah, I've been working hard on it this time around.
But I mean, hey.
50 more pounds to go, so wow. but progressing nicely. I'm very, very happy, but I can relate.
When do you plan on losing that by Easter, the 50 pounds?
No, it's just,
I mean, no, I'm not.
Yeah, it's the eating, and I'm not exercising a lot either. It's just it's the eating
right
program and really sticking to it. I mean, I did it before, and then I gained it back because I cheated. That's all. I mean, no. You can't even have a, you know, you got to really, you know when you lose it if you don't eat like a little, even an M&M, you don't even cheat with that.
Right.
You gotta stay with it, even though it's been killing. But the more you do it, it kills you less, as I'm sure you know.
Well, good for you, and these people on the plane were fatter than you and I have ever been now.
Wow. And you don't want to discriminate, but Jesus Christ, on airplanes, it's
now,
horrible.
It's rough. There was one guy in particular. Here's a shock. The flight was overbooked. So they're making the announcement, you know, and it used to be that they would give you a free ticket somewhere.
Yeah, it used to be.
Yeah. Now it's
anyone that would like to fly to Reagan National instead of Dulles, we can offer you a $50 coupon for future service on Northwest or Airlines.
Oh,
you know,
God, like, air travel in America. Jesus.
So the flight's overbooked, and the whole time I'm sitting at the gate. Oh, incidentally, when I was at the Mall of America, I got a haircut as well.
Hey, how cool is that Mall of America? I've never been there. Isn't it supposed to be the biggest one in the country?
Well, it was like Sunday morning at 10:15. It didn't really get going until about noontime.
Yeah. That's when they open. You're back at the airport at that time.
Although it was open for walkers.
Okay, sure. You mall walkers?
If you're one of those people that wanted to just walk around a lot.
Do they have a roller coaster there?
Yeah, I thought they had a roller coaster.
They do. Yes, they do.
Open?
That was not open.
Would you have ridden it?
I would have jumped off it. So I'm on the plane, and I'm thinking, all right, at least I'm going to get the frig out of Dodge.
Yeah.
Right? Right? Now, hold on. Before we get to being on the plane.
You were talking about a fat guy.
I'm sitting in the staging area, you know, the waiting area with mm-hmm. everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy who he is just like Nutty Professor fat.
Oh,
okay.
Boy.
White guy. Big, fat, white guy. And he's got these Dockers on that I don't know where you get pants this big because he has to keep hiking them up and he's like showing skin because he's wearing a sweater and he doesn't have a shirt on underneath it. And it's really bothering him that he's having to stand in this line because he didn't check in or e-ticket or whatever.
Right.
So he's having to check in at the gate.
Right.
And the longer it's taking, I'm realizing this guy is so freaking fat. He can't stand.
Yeah, I'm sure it's putting pressure on his legs.
So he says, he pulls out, you know, everybody knows that the walkie-talkie sound now.
Right.
That right. So he pulls out his thing and he says, yeah, I need somebody to come over. Now, overcomes, there's no other way to describe them, the fat family.
Okay, this is his family he's calling?
Yeah, there are six of them
uh-huh.
traveling in his group. There's Mama Obese.
Uh-huh.
There's Daddy Heart Attack. There's no doubt. I mean, this guy is just such a slob, such a big, fat, just doofus slob.
Mm-hmm.
Then two grown, I believe, children, a man and a woman, both of them, my hand to God, 300 pounds, and I'm being generous there. Okay?
Right.
And then two other adults who are also just frigging gigantic.
Wow.
They're all waiting, and at this point, I'm just noticing them because he's making a big deal about the fact that they're having to wait in line.
Right.
We get on the plane. This guy sits, his seat, as it turns out, is the first seat in the first row, aisle seat, left-hand side. I can tell this guy cannot get his ass into the seat.
Between the armrests.
He just can't do it.
Right.
I mean, he can not do it.
Mm-hmm.
So what he does is he puts the armrest up
mm-hmm.
and he kind of just hogs both seats.
Right.
Now, as everybody's getting on the plane, and there's no first class or business class or anything on the plane.
Tiny jet, regional jet.
Everybody's just getting on the plane. All of his family members are kind of sitting by each other, but they obviously have planned this out because they're not sitting next to each other. Because really, there's no way you could get people this fat
right.
sitting next to each other.
So and it is on a jet that size. It is an issue of where the weight's distributed.
Right.
Now, they'll move you.
Hold on, pal. I got news for you. Let me just tell you, he refused to move.
Oh my God! What an ass!
Hold on. Yeah, and what an ass! I mean,
oh my God! That's it's a safety issue.
Hold on a second. Let's do a break and come back. And I want to tell you, we were on a tarmac for 90 minutes
because Porky didn't want to move.
No, because of Porky's family.
Wow.
Porky and his family.
Oh man.
90 freaking minutes.
Wow. Sure, if you're going to sit by the bulkhead, the plane will not be airborne.
Okay. All right, hold on a second. You know.
Hey, we've been moved on planes before.
Yeah.
You know,
haven't we?
Yeah.
I mean, you and I have, Rob, Don has. Haven't we all been?
We got split up.
And again,
Rob and I got split up one time.
And they
move you. Well, they move you to balance it, but they kind of move you to the back. They want the weight in the back.
I just got the goddamn Excedrin headache, and I'm like overloaded on everything. And I'm in the second row in the right-hand aisle, so I've got a good shot of this guy.
And that's like the claustrophobia express.
The big meaty part of this guy's combination right ass cheek love handle that is sticking out from
it's his bacon.
From these dockers.
It's right at his bacon. Right.
These dockers that look like they're just ready to split at a moment's notice. The first sign there's going to be trouble is the big fat guy is sitting there. And a regular size guy, he comes on the plane and says to the guy, excuse me, I'm right there. Meaning that he has the seat by the window.
Right. This guy cop him a tude?
The fat guy says to him, you might want to look for another seat.
Yeah, because he's just used to being on planes and being fat.
Now, at this point, the skinny guy, and he was a perfect guy to pick the fight with the fat guy because he was like a hippie type. Older guy, I'd say maybe approaching 60, but had like a George Carlin.
The ponytail?
Type ponytail.
Mm-hmm.
Said, excuse me, dude, but the flight's overbooked, and that's my seat. So please move and allow me to sit down. The guy says, I don't think I can move.
Wow. See, that's kind of sad.
Yeah.
But
the guy too much of a hump?
It's not true.
He's lying?
It's not that the guy can't move.
He doesn't want to move.
The guy doesn't want to move.
Oh, that sucks.
So hold on. This grows hair.
Yeah. Wow.
And of course, I get involved
because
it's the way that I am.
Of course you do.
And I'm just fried enough.
You're on the edge.
I'm just fried enough. You know, it's like I'm on the phone and I'm, you know, talking to the girl about the dog.
Right, right.
And I'm saying, you know, so is everything okay with the dogs? Uh-huh. Yes. And I said, she said, do you need me to pick you up at the airport? I said, you know, that would be, it'd be very nice. And I had to call back and say, oh, yeah, incidentally, forget about picking me up at the airport because I don't know how long we're going to be stuck on the tarmac. What, is there a problem? is there a problem with the engine? And I said, real loud, I said, no, there's a problem with fat people. And he turned around and
glared,
shot me a look. Anyway,
at any time, and they were coming back to talk about it, when we come back, will we be hearing the words of the co-pilot going, we don't have enough runway.
All right, hold on. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guy on the plane.
Did you ever suck the jelly out of a jelly donut and then fill it with chocolate swirl ice cream?
Let it roll. All the way.
I like to stuff a jelly donut with Reese's peanut butter cup, then put it in a warm oven and let the chocolate and everything melt into the dough.
Pork.
Peanut butter
pork,
and
pork.
On a chocolate-covered graham cracker.
Pork.
With thin layers of banana on top. Mm.
At Crohn's, they got chocolate-covered orange wedges.
Pork.
Juice just dribbles down your chin.
Pork.
Can I have just a drop of honey in this, please? Just a drop. Imagine the actual fruit is covered with that thick, dark chocolate. You know? Oh, boy. How'd you like to stuff one of them in a donut?
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime. From anywhere in America, 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hey, Dad.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here
try to understand. Try to understand. They are magic men. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right. Okay, so I'm on the way back from a real good weekend.
Yes.
In Minneapolis.
Beautiful weekend. A beautiful weekend in Waco, Texas.
So they come on the plane. And now,
you, the last, I want to just make sure I know, because last we checked in, the George Carlin looked like the skinny guy was arguing with the fat guy. Did the fat guy move at all?
No. The fat guy said, I can't move.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, the George Carlin guy says, excuse me, I got a problem here.
Right.
Now, there are still people that are trying to get on the plane. This George Carlin guy, the hippie guy, is one of the last people on the plane.
Okay.
So, they bring out the guy from outside at the ticket booth. He comes inside, and he says, listen, we've got all kinds of problems anyway. We're going to have to make an announcement. So he says to the George Carlin guy, stay right where you are.
Hmm.
And he gets on the little intercom. Hey, Rob, where's the bullhorn? Because really,
this will be like that.
It's the best way, because this was so fantastic.
You sure you want to bring that in here?
Oh, you mean the Joe factor?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just a little sensitive about the bullhorn. Just memories. But nah, I'll be all right.
Bittersweet memories, Mike.
Bittersweet.
You know, it's all behind you now.
That's right.
Don't turn it to Joe.
Hello.
All right, so here's the deal.
No.
This can't have a good ending.
Oh, dear.
Hello?
Hey, how was your weekend, buddy?
Fine.
Groovy, did you get drunk?
A little bit.
How'd that Miller Lite taste, Joe, buddy?
Huh?
How'd that Miller Lite taste?
Great. Less filling.
You know what, Joe?
What?
You're my friend.
Well, good.
That's Am I your friend?
Of course. Always.
Can you work with me?
Sure.
How about O'Mara?
Of course.
Thank you, Joe.
Are you still going to Mike's contest to judge the Poontang contest?
Snow Bunny.
Yeah, I guess so.
Week after he does.
Yeah, it's still a week away.
There you go.
Week away.
Buzz?
Yes.
Anything you want to say?
No, I'll be there this week.
Very excited to have Buzz out at the old Restaurante.
Thursday night as a judge.
Hey, Buzz.
Yes.
Have you told your wife yet?
Oh, God.
No, no, I haven't.
He's a bad man.
No, he's planning on telling
her. He knows the answer to that.
No, come on, be honest. Didn't I give you a look to say, is it okay, or did you not catch that look?
Of course it's okay. I just found out about it today. I'll be telling her this evening.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, Marcia.
I invited Buzz to a very special evening in Waco, Texas.
It's pansy night.
It's snow bunny night.
Snow bunny.
Same thing.
Night.
Sort of.
Bye, Joe. Good day.
Bye, Joe.
And Buzz doing it this week. Joe's going to do it the next week.
Cool.
And then if we're lucky, we'll get them both back to the finals.
All right, that call with Joe is over. So here's the thing.
So the guy from gets on the speaker in the plane.
And here's what he says.
Right, yes.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, as you can tell, we have a very full flight. And we do have a slight problem with the weight distribution on this flight.
Mm-hmm.
We are not going to be able to take off unless we move some selected passengers. So what we're going to be doing is walking up and down the aisles, and we're going to ask people to move, and we're going to try to get the proper weight distribution so that we can make this a fast on-time takeoff. And thank you for flying Northwest.
Wonderful.
I ain't going nowhere. I'm too comfy.
Now, at this point, the waitresses, the stews, they start going up and down, and it's like they get to everybody, and of course everybody's head is on a swivel, right? Because everybody's looking to see what's going on.
Who's
going to
get
who's the porky one?
And now this is still going on up front. I'm getting the first class view of this guy, the best possible view of the big fat guy who refuses to move.
Right.
He says, I can barely fit into this seat. There's no way this man can sit next to me. She says, you should have bought two tickets. He said, you should make your seats better. She says, you're going to have to get out of the way so that this gentleman can get in. And then the guy says, well, if I have to, I'll climb over you. And he said, and then the fat guy says, I don't want anybody touching me. I don't think I can be moved. And the stewardess says, did you use some type of apparatus to get on the airplane? And the guy says, no. She says, do you have a cane or any walking device? The man said, no. She said,
yeah, because he got on the plane.
Right.
So the stewardess said, sir, we certainly think if you need help, we'll help you get up. Now, while this is going on and the fat guys are fusing this, I hear behind me, like four rows behind,
are most definitely not moving. No, listen, we are. This is discrimination. No, I cannot move. I will not move.
Oh,
no. Honey, they're making me move.
And now it's Fatso. It's Fatso's wife, right? So he can't, he's so fat, he can't even turn around to look at her.
Right.
So he just says, he's talking to the wall in front of him.
Uh-huh.
He just says real loudly,
stay where you are, honey. Nothing they can do to us. This discrimination.
They don't have any idea what the aerodynamic factor is there.
So now,
idiots,
What happens is,
I mean, it's discrimination if there's plenty of room and they kick you off the plane.
Right.
If they're talking about the safety of the plane taking off,
that's
we
different.
We have now missed our takeoff time.
Sure.
And they announce that another plane needs to use this gate.
Uh-oh.
So here are the choices we have. The fat people, they don't call them fat, they said, those of you who we have asked to move can either get off the plane now and we will rebook you on another flight, or everybody can simply move to the assigned seats that we've asked you to, and we're going to push back and we'll take off, or what we're going to have to do is push back and simply sit and wait until the gate becomes open again, at which time we will figure out what we're going to do.
Wow.
Everybody on the plane is incredibly pissed.
Of course, good.
The guy in the front row says,
I got no problem waiting.
Now, at this point, everybody else is like going crazy with like, I have a connection to Zimbabwe.
Right.
I've got a connection to Chicago. I've got a connection to Baltimore. I've got a connection to Jacksonville, right? So now you got another. Now the guy comes back. They have a conference. The stewardesses have a conference.
Uh-huh.
The guy comes back on.
All right.
The guy from the ticket booth outside.
Right.
Thank you for your patience, ladies and gentlemen. If you would, please turn off all.
And at this point, I think, oh, beautiful. It's turn off everything. They figured
right.
it out.
Turn off all personal electronic devices. Keep your seatbelt on. And all we're really going to be doing is pushing back here. And we're going to allow this United, or whatever it is, it's like Los Angeles, to pull in. And we'll be sitting here trying to find another spot to park until we can work this all out. Because, you know, we just can't go with the weight allowance the way that it is. And thank you for your patience, and thank you for flying.
Oh, my God.
And then...
And once you push back, right, nobody can move now.
Correct. Right. Now we're all stuck.
I'd be out of my mind.
Mm-hmm. Now we've pushed back, and we see another plane come in and drive in and take our parking spot.
Right.
And at this point, I'm out of my mind.
Sure.
And I say to the stewardess, who's a very nice lady, she comes over, and I know everybody can hear me. I got a loud voice if I want it to be loud. And I said, excuse me, I think I speak for just about everybody. We've now been on this plane for 45 minutes.
God.
The problem is the people who are overweight, who will not move. Can't you do something for those of us who are not overweight? I said, I don't care. I'll go sit in the back of the plane. I said, anybody else? I said, if this guy refuses to move,
mm-hmm.
how about if all of us go to the back of the plane?
Right.
And the people sitting around me said, yeah. You could really do it because the flight was booked. And
right.
I said, I'll stand in the galley. I said, I would sit in the toilet. I'll sit in the restroom. If it'll mean that the flight will take off. And at this point, a couple people around me started, finally, we got a little something going.
Uh-huh, right.
And we got some momentum.
Right.
And it was at this point that the fat guy, again, too fat to turn around to even see me, just said,
I want to want everybody's names, phone numbers, information. This,
and I just see the big fat ham hand going up.
This is all wrong. No one should be treating us this way.
Idiot.
And that's when I could not stop myself.
Sure.
I said way too loudly, because there was a woman sitting next to me, very nice woman who works at the Smithsonian Institution, Very educated woman. I got to know her because I was sitting on a plane for over an hour with her.
Right.
Finally, I said, pal, you need to buy two seats. You are too big for one seat. Buy two seats. I bet we can take up a collection to buy you that seat next to you, and I bet that the gentleman with the ponytail would even give up his seat and possibly would even donate some money to get you and your family two seats.
Right.
And it's at that point, with every bit of leverage that he can manage, I've pissed him off.
He's moving?
He swings around, and this sweet little mouse of a woman next to me, this librarian, she jumps up in her chair and she says, he can move! He can move! This woman, when I say,
good.
I mean, look like a librarian, intellectual,
right.
Like reading calculus.
And nobody's discriminating against this guy. They just wanted him to move his location, right?
Right. And they even said that it wasn't a problem with him. It was all of his fat family
right.
That was all in the first 12 rows of the left side of the airplane.
So they needed him to go in the back.
Right.
Yeah, or
spread him out somewhere.
Or his family, or
right.
His fat family members.
Nobody wants to move.
So finally,
nobody wants to move.
And then I've never had this happen either. A guy, I don't think it was an air marshal, but it was a guy that had a uniform on, came on the plane, like the cop, a TSA guy. I don't know. Because
security of some kind.
They pushed us back up after we'd been sitting on the tarmac for an hour.
Wow.
They pushed us back to the door, and a guy came in and said, hi, this is really screwing up everything here. You're really messing up the airport. So the deal is this. Everybody moves, or this flight is going to be canceled.
Oh boy.
And now, again,
wow.
Not the right thing to say, because there's like 48 people that are going, what the frig is going on? And it was at this point that everybody just turned. Everybody turned on all of the fat people.
Good.
And it was like something you would see, like in the movie Airplane, where everybody is screaming and going, for about 40 seconds.
Yeah.
It was pandemonium like that.
Wow.
Everybody on this plane turning around to find somebody just, and it was a combination of, you've made me late, I'm going to miss my plane, get me off this plane, I'm claustrophobic, why don't you please just move to, why don't you move your fat ass, why didn't you buy two seats, you are slowing us down, you're incredible. So, bottom line, finally, Fatso says, and again, he's not, now he's kind of wedged in between the seat and the little entranceway.
Right.
He's sitting on what I guess would be the armrest.
Okay.
The right armrest.
God, the armrest must have been invisible.
Hold on. This is the only bright point of the whole story. The best thing that's ever happened to me. The guy is sitting on the armrest, turned facing the back of the plane, where he is ordering his family. As requested, he's telling them to move now. He's saying,
Joni, I want you to move there.
And he's talking to the stew, and she's saying, okay, and
so he's in the front.
Yeah. This guy's in the very front. He's okay. The dad of the fat family. And
I don't know anything about the aerodynamics. I think they kind of move you to the back sometimes.
It just needs to be evenly distributed.
It's got to be evenly distributed.
Here's the thing. He had been sitting really in both chairs, in both seats, in the front row, in these two seats. So now what he's done is he's gotten up and he's wedged himself, and he's like at a 90-degree angle where he's facing the back of the plane, and he's sitting, he's perched, he's got one leg against the wall in front of him, and the other leg kind of straddling the armrest, and he's telling his family to move when, swear to God, you hear, guy absolutely ripped out the entire ass of his pants.
Oh.
I mean, to shreds.
Wow.
I mean, the guy was overextended.
So he's not happy now.
No, now, and you want to talk about a guy who said, I can't move? You've never seen it. We should have put this guy on our Olympic team. You've never seen a fat guy get up as fast as he got up when he realized that his ass was hanging out there for the entire
right.
Week, although really nobody could see him except the stewardesses that were behind him.
And you're in the back near the family, right?
No, I'm up front.
Oh, you're up front.
I'm in the second row.
Right. Okay.
So what's great is he jumps up because his pants have ripped.
Right.
And he's going like this with his hands behind him.
Checking
like,
the damage.
This is so embarrassing. And then I look at the seat. And the entire seat, both seats,
uh-huh,
are tilting towards the right.
He's like, bent them.
Like a seesaw with a fat guy sitting on one end. The seat to the left seat, I guess it would be 1A,
uh-huh,
is actually about six inches higher than it should have been.
Tilted.
And he's actually bent the armrest with the button to move the seat back. Uh-huh. So in essence, what he's done is broken it.
Destroyed
it. He's broken two seats on the plane.
Well, what do they do?
They had the entire fat family get off the plane.
Really? Wow.
He broke the equipment.
Yes.
He broke the equipment.
You broke our plane. God. Get off.
He broke it. So now there's real pandemonium because the guy's pants are ripped. Okay? He broke the chair.
Uh-huh. And did they forcibly remove them? Or?
The captain then came out from behind the locked door.
Right.
And they got the guy from inside, and you've got all kinds of people, and everybody's got a walkie-talkie thing. And they finally just, and I'm sitting right there, and I hear it. They come up, they explain to him, they said, we're going to book your entire family on a flight, on the next flight, at 6:55.
Mm-hmm.
We need you all to get off the airplane right now. Otherwise, we're going to have a real problem. We know that it was an accident, but look what...
You broke our plane.
Look what you did. So, and this is where people are just frigging cruel, myself included. One by one, as the fat people left the plane, there was this smattering like this.
Well, the guy did it. The guy brought it on himself, actually.
I know, and the more, and then when he finally got up, and when he left, and they shut the door,
yes,
the plane erupted, and you know this kind of eruption. It's like when you're on a flight and you hit some turbulence,
sure, sure,
and everybody flips out, and then all of a sudden everything's okay, or if you got a bad landing and you make it, everybody's like,
right,
woo!
Yay.
I mean, the fat guy,
right,
that broke the seat,
mm-hmm,
as soon as he left, and that stewardess shut that door.
Yeah.
That plane went nuts.
Well, sure, and there's more room now, too, because a big family of large people, yes, just got off the plane.
How many total people in the family?
Six.
Six.
Now,
wow.
Now, we all think at this point, fantastic. We've been on the ground for 1 hour and 35 minutes, but we're ready to take off. I'm looking out the window, and I see, wait a minute, hold on, we're not going anywhere. Why are they coming over towards the plane? We should be leaving. The guy from the gate gets on the phone to the stew now because she's shut the door. Okay, the airlock door is shut.
Mm-hmm.
She picks up the thing and she says,
everybody, we're going to be just a few more minutes.
And I was like, oh, what now? She says,
we have to get their luggage off the plane.
So everybody is just sitting there,
yeah,
looking out the window, watching the guys with the big, gigantic headphones on.
Right. A lot of luggage?
Yeah.
A reasonable amount?
For a small commuter flight?
Right.
At least two bags per person.
Sure.
I mean, and
well, try to fold those big bags.
Yeah, big bags, yeah. I'm sure, full of food.
That too.
As people are just looking at this, we're just going like, do you effing believe this?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And
oh, my God.
Everybody ended up being very...
Did you get the impression they hadn't flown before, that maybe that they were being difficult because they didn't know
or
the
that they do this all the time?
Oh, no. Now, the guy I got the feeling, the fat man, I got the feeling flied all the time. He had a Crackberry with him. He was Mr. Tech Savvy.
Right.
Wanted his Wi-Fi going before the plane.
Right.
To get all his fat man toys out. No, it was obvious he flew a lot. I don't think the wife did.
You know, the way they do.
So, anyway, after everybody applauded, and then we all sat and had to watch their luggage being taken off. And actually, people were, like, having a game, because we were watching, because what they had to do was take off every bit of luggage that was loaded onto the plane.
Right.
Was on, like, this conveyor belt, and we were all watching out the window, going like, oh, hey, there's my bag.
Mm-hmm.
Then someone else would go, oh, there's my bag.
Oh.
There's my bag. And then every time they would grab one, like the entire plane would go, Oh, that's one of their bags. So then the game became, let's try to guess the fat people's bags. Somebody actually said,
they're lucky they didn't have, like, law enforcement get them off the plane.
Well, I mean, maybe that was the next step.
They probably whispered that in his ear, you know.
I'm sure they did.
We'll arrest you if you don't get off the plane.
Anyway, they finally got the fat people's luggage off, and we...
So from the time of your original departure time and the time you finally took off, what was the...
2 hours and 10 minutes.
Oh, my God.
2 hours and 10 minutes.
For one family.
But then the headwinds were good, so we shaved 15 minutes off the flight back home.
Oh, good. Yeah, they were talking. There's an article about that today. That was just costing the airlines a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. That was just...
When you're going out to L.A., it's a very tough. When you're coming back, it's a breeze.
Right? That was just so groovy. Literally. You know, and I got home, and there was a note, you know, from
got home to your blood-covered kitchen.
Yeah, from the woman that's not my girlfriend. They were like, you know, dogs are fine, fed the dogs. And really, I just said, you know, P.S. did my best to clean up the blood.
Wow.
And I was wondering, because the house looked immaculate.
Mm-hmm.
I opened up we got the garbage compressor thing, so I put my foot down and the thing comes out. And inside, it looked like, I mean, it was like something out of CSI.
Little doggy carnage?
It was just dog blood everywhere. Yeah. And then, so I go, oh, I got to just take this bag out. And I take the bag out, and I go out to the, and she's not exaggerating about this. I go out to the garbage outside to put this, and I notice that there's like 5 rolls of paper towels that just have dog marks and blood.
From the Thriller in Manila.
Yeah. So anyway, not, I wouldn't say best weekend of all time, but it rates way up there.
Wow.
Way up there.
Everything else okay?
Yeah. I mean, what's not to like?
You're right. This is what I'm saying.
What's not to like? You get a nice delay.
Inconceivable.
So anyway, that was
amazing.
That was the weekend.
Whew. Wow.
How was your weekend, Mike?
Oh, good and bad, but a lot of new stuff. Saw a great new movie that I want to recommend highly, and I discovered a new drink.
Oh. All right. Well, how about we talk about that when we come back?
I would love to. And then it ended, with a kitchen where I was up to my ass in dishes. But, you know, and I had my meltdown. And I was sick all weekend, too. Oh, but it was, you know, discovering a new alcoholic beverage for me is, you know how people go on certain different scientific missions?
Yeah.
And they find a new species?
A quest.
That, to me, is when I have a sip of something that I've really never really enjoyed before, and I enjoy it. And it's exactly how I felt. I felt like I was in the Amazon and I found a new butterfly.
Eureka!
Found a new butterfly.
Delightful.
Butterfly.
Hello. Donna Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hey. What's up?
I'm just calling. Not much. Love your show.
Nice.
I was in a similar situation. In front row, right in front of those, there's no seats in front of you.
Right.
And had a fat lady sitting next to me. First of all, she's so fat that she doesn't fit in the seatbelt. They have to give her the demonstration seatbelt to make it wider.
That would be known as the extension.
And hold on,
right.
Hold on. Yeah. See if you can guess. Play along now. Huh? How many extensions did the guy need?
Three. Two?
Oh, just that one guy.
Just the one guy, the fat guy. How many extensions?
I'll say two.
Did you say three?
I said three.
Winner, 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 winner.
Jesus,
I'm not exaggerating.
Wow.
They're about 6 inches long, and they add to the seatbelt if you're too fat.
Wow. Yeah.
Three extenders.
They have the tables that are inside of the chair arms.
Right.
She couldn't get that out, of course. She literally was sitting her cookie on top of her chest that was flat.
Now, that's the problem there, the cookie.
Okay. All
right. You gotta rethink the cookie.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Last call on this topic. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, this is Lounge Chair. Remember me? From up in Carlisle,
nickname. Nickname.
Instance.
Bye!
Disqualification.
I mean, I know that that's the guy probably that sat on the Chaise Lounge and watched our broadcast, but he gave himself a nickname.
Right.
He said, this is Lounge Chair.
Yeah. So he's out of there.
Shouldn't have done that.
We got a break.
No, he was skinny, Rob.
Not, and besides, no one. Listen, seriously, I mean, Jim London is laughing at this guy. this guy is so freaking fat.
One last question.
Yes.
Did they serve a meal on the plane?
Mike, of course not.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Of course not.
Right.
Are you kidding
not
me?
Not even a box lunch.
Are you kidding me? Although she did offer extra peanuts.
Yeah.
Sure.
A hell of a lot of extra peanuts now that they got off the plane. Man, I bet he's got extra peanuts.
All right, thank you, Rob. Okay, we'll be back.
Okay, all right. Stop it, stop
this
it.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Mark is the book and Don Dump Truck taking up the right lane.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose. I'll be right back.
Don't you go dying on me.
The Don and Mike Show.
Pinch hitting for Lou Brock, Don and Mike.
You see, February is almost over.
Na, 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 na.
Tomorrow, as is our tradition, we'll be celebrating Black History Month on the last day of the month.
Right. Special guest?
Bob Mailman's coming in.
Yeah. It's been a while. I'm looking forward to seeing him.
It's a restaurant somewhere down south called Tar Baby.
Wow. I mean, it's actually still in business.
Yep. He's going to call them on the air, right?
He found it.
He's got some...
He has a vignette prepared.
He usually comes to play on this particular day.
Oh, yeah. That's tomorrow. Hold on, let me just see. Hold on, what am I looking at here? The Olympics last night, the closing, got a 9.5 rating. Dancing with the Stars got a 17.3 rating.
Wow.
And I'm guilty.
And... Hold on, more ratings news.
I am. I actually watched it for the first time. I hated it, but I watched it.
More ratings news.
Yes.
Let me see. You know, they got all the replacements for Stern.
Right.
Right? So here we go. Here's the first bit of ratings news.
Okay.
Let me see. Howard's is from New York.
Yes.
The only market that's been released thus far.
Gotcha.
Stern had a 7.9.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. In his first month, David Lee Roth has a 1.7. Okay.
It's working great.
Wow.
Winner!
Wow.
Okay.
Yes.
So, I don't, you know, that's just New York.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows how...
The rest of the country is going to play out.
Right,
of course.
That's just New York.
Right.
Anyway, that's...
Wow, cola.
That's not good. And,
no, that's not good at all.
And what else did I hear? He's on vacation now. David Lee Roth, who's had the job for less than 2 months, is now on vacation.
Maybe the ratings will go up.
Delightful. They're retooling it.
Are they really?
Well, that's what I hear.
Uh-huh. It's kind of like when you put a sitcom in hiatus.
So does this mean they're playing the best of David Lee Roth now?
If there is such a thing, I don't know. I don't know, Buzz. I don't know a thing. Mike.
Yes.
How was your weekend?
Well, I was sick and got real sick over the weekend and was feeling very, very under the weather. And I normally, every other weekend, I will pick up my kids. My babysitter will pick up the kids on Friday afternoon, and I'll get them Friday night. Well, my ex calls me and says they've got a sleepover planned at the church, and can I pick them up on Saturday? I say, fine, nope, no problem at all. I call Carl. I said, okay, we don't have the kids. Got kind of a free night. Why don't we go out to dinner, and then maybe we'll go by the restaurant afterwards. And
look around cafe.
Even though I'm, I'm under the weather, I'm like, yeah, what the hell? I'll give it a shot, see how I feel. I go out. And ever since I got this thing, a few people in the industry, a few professional bartending-type people have recommended that I sample this beverage. And the beverage is Grand Marnier. And I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's a liqueur type thing. They use it like in a lot of cooking, but it's also very popular.
I asked you if it was a brandy type.
Well, I guess I'm not a brandy drinker, so I don't really know what that tastes like. But all I know is that I was told to get it like a snifter of this stuff on Friday night.
Uh-huh.
And sip it.
Do you have your smoking jacket on?
I really did feel like Hugh Hefner. I really did. Because I'm holding the thing. They give you a little snifter of it, and they put just a little bit of it in the bottom of a glass. And you really, as soon as you smell it, it shoots up the nose, and you're like, my God, this is a... Now, I realize that most people would say, well, if you're under the weather, probably the best thing you can do is to, take some NyQuil or take a cold medication and go to bed. Well, it's Friday night.
Yeah.
Okay. It's Friday night. I've worked with this. I can play with this. And that's my attitude. And after about the third sip of this stuff, I realized that, miraculously, my cold feels like it's going away completely.
Huh.
And the more time I realize that I spent in there, I'm not sure how many I had, but I do know this. I sipped it because someone told me that this is a particular...
Come on, like Bob Berger.
Sipped it.
No, when you said,
someone told me That's because I got this thing to... That you're supposed to nurse this and be very gentle with it and not drink it fast because it'll hurt you.
Yes.
And I did what I was told, and I'm happy to report that the S-Bag Drunk enjoyed this as much as anything I have enjoyed in a long time.
I prefer red wine.
It was delightful. It was just wandering around having this warm glow. And the next morning, I woke up and I felt. I really thought, la 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 la.
Felt better.
Exactly how I felt in the morning, because I had to pick the kids up at 9 o'clock, and I said,
la 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 la.
So when you open your eyes and you realize, you know, you're always a little dehydrated, if you know what I mean. You're always just a little. But I suddenly said, I'm going to really feel, because I was doing this to mask my symptoms on Friday night. That's not going to affect me on Saturday. I'm going to feel bad on Saturday. That's what I thought when I went to bed.
I'm going nuts. Hello, okay. Don and Mike show.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, yes.
Grand Marnier, that's a French liqueur. It's about 40 proof.
Right.
It's pretty good. It's real good.
It was good.
Isn't it French liqueur?
It's
orange beverage.
After
beverage.
Dinner, it's about an 80 proof because it's 40% alcohol.
Right.
It's a blend of cognacs, which are kinds of brandy. Kinds of brandy, and then it's mixed with essence of orange.
Well, you know, I know of it. I've known of it for years. I avoid it, and I didn't avoid it Friday, and I'm delighted to report it was wonderful.
Yeah, Don and Mike, hello?
It's pricey, yeah.
Hello?
I get it for free.
Well, you own the place, right? Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Is this me?
Yeah, you're right. Not really.
Oh, Rob, did you say, is this me?
He did.
That is...
Oh, hold on. Wait.
What happened?
Oh, I see. Hold on a second.
Bye! Barney Bye. The new gentler Barney Bye.
Disqualification. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes, hey, I wanted to also throw out a suggestion with the Grand Marnier. If you heat up the brandy snifter, it actually gives it a different flavor, and it actually tastes very good also.
Well, you know what? I'll keep trying. Because really, I'm thinking even when I'm healthy, I might be sipping this. Because here's the most important thing. I ended up ingesting a lot less. Because I was super slow sipping it, and I still felt a little... I did, Rob, I swear to God.
What, Rob?
Rob's giving me, like, right, the okay, like, I'm lying. I'm not lying. I'm dying.
Just an eyedropper full.
Woke up on Saturday, even with the cold, I felt great.
That's the best part.
I felt fantastic.
That's why he was all dehydrated when he woke up, just because he was just drinking it.
Yeah.
Just sipping it.
No, now, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to say that I had a few.
How many?
I have no idea. I was
five?
I don't count.
That good.
Five?
Counting is for fools.
Five?
Yeah, probably in that neighborhood.
Figures boring.
Probably. Yeah, figures are boring, you know, if I told you the truth, you know. You know, and every time I say a number like that, there's somebody listening, you know, at the restaurant that's going, ah!
Oh, my God, he said five! He said five! Send Don a copy of the check! But it was Jesus Christ, he's a liar!
Incidentally,
it was medicinal, though.
Hey, hold on.
It was medicinal.
Incidentally, if anybody out there who works at my joint is listening, please do.
Send
a copy of the check.
Jeff's doing it right now, I'm sure. Don't. Jeff, don't.
Please do, Jeff.
Don't do that.
And you know, at O'Mara's, they give such a generous pour.
It was like just a little bit, but it went here. To me, because I had the cold and I was kind of doing this to mask my symptoms on Friday, I thought I was going to really just be wiped out on Saturday and I was going to see my kids. And I don't want to see my kids when I'm in that kind of cold shape. I want to be. And I felt great.
Good for you, Mike.
Went to pick up the kids. And my daughter informed me that the sleepover that she was on at the church, where they go in the church hall with all the kids there, that she had, I said, so, I always ask her, I said, so what time did you get to bed last night? And Catherine informs me, like, matter-of-factly, she says, 4 a.m.
Oh, my God.
So I immediately know what kind of day I'm going to have.
You're going to be way over tired.
And I have, in all the time I've picked those kids up, I have never seen their eyes. Their eyes probably look like that bulldog. Their eyes were literally hanging out of their head. And, of course, we always have something fun planned when it's Daddy Day.
Mm-hmm.
And Daddy's Day, and this was the big day.
That's the first time even really did Daddy's Day.
When Daddy Day, Daughter's Day. We're going to the grocery store.
That is fun.
You know, I know you guys go, speaking of grocery stores, I know you go to, you both shop at Safeway, right?
Safeway.
And I'm here to say that I probably jumped on that bandwagon because we had to drive way out of the way because we wanted to get to the Safeway because it's got some of the cool, like, Weight Watchers type stuff that that the Giant doesn't have.
That's why I go to Safeway.
Because the Weight Watchers.
Right. They've got all the great stuff for my
physically fit lifestyle.
Right, right. Well, it was fun. I had a good Saturday. We all mellowed out. Everybody was tired. Everybody was under the weather because the kids just wanted to go home. I bought a movie for them, and they just wanted to chill out all afternoon, and they were wiped out. So we moved everything that we were going to do, our going out to the movies. We were going to go to do it on Sunday, and I am here to tell you that I have found the Rudy of dog movies. That
you cried?
You cried at the dog movie?
Did we
have to jump right to that? I did. Uh-huh. I mean, I wasn't going to like lay that out there right at the beginning. I'd like to say why. I'd like to explain my behavior. You know, I think maybe a little bit of the
grammar. Because you're a big stinky faggot?
I'm a fag. I'm a bag. We drove to the movie theater.
I take that back.
Mm-hmm.
You are well-smelling. You're not stinking.
I'm a well-smelling faggot.
Big faggot.
I was psyched because where I go to the movies, the Hoyt's place where I go sometimes, always like a crowd scene, and I drove in and I saw this huge parking lot. I got, you know, like 17 theaters or whatever there, and I see the parking lot is maybe one third full, and I'm super psyched. I said, all right, take your time, kids. We're gonna get in line. We're gonna get. It's the movie's supposed to start at 12. It's about five after, so I'm like, we're gonna walk in right when the movie starts. Mm-hmm. The timing's gonna be perfect. It's gonna be great. So we stand in line. I get the kids their candy.
Yeah.
I get me a Diet Coke, and everybody's happy. Carla's with me. We're strolling into the theater. And I noticed that I've missed the timing.
Queer reeking of orange cognac.
I'm not. It's Sunday. It's 2 days later.
Oh, you watched it all.
I have detoxed completely by that time.
No,
I'm 100%. What's that?
You didn't bring a flask.
I didn't bring a flask with me. Like that one right now. It'd be delightful. Because it's a little cloudy out.
Yeah.
There's my excuse for today. So I walk in and we're going to go see 8 Below, the movie about the dogs in Antarctica.
Yes.
What?
I love that. Wait a minute.
What?
It's cloudy out.
Yeah.
So that's what you're going to drink?
Yeah.
Today.
Cloudy. Cloudy day.
That's why today.
Cloudy day, you drink different patterns than sunny days. No, I'm not drinking today. I have no intention of drinking today. I didn't drink yesterday. I drank one night, Friday night, and that was my only time Monday through Sunday of having a cocktail.
Am I
sounding a little defensive right now?
I'm not your mommy.
Yes.
I'm not your mommy. I don't care.
I just thought
it was funny.
Incidentally, I don't miss work because of my drinking, so I think I'm a... What do they call it? What do the folks say? High functioning. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And Rob, 8 Below is not a porno. Thank you very much.
Are you sure?
It's not.
APE?
It's about dogs.
Oh.
And I'm so psyched as I walk in because I think I've timed it perfectly. I got two-thirds of the parking lot, and I realized the two-thirds of the parking lot, they all were there to see one movie.
Oh.
Do you know the feeling when you think you're just going to stroll in and be okay, and you walk in every... See, it was typical. You have people...
Weren't they there to see the Big Mama's movie? God damn, that thing did a huge box office.
Medea?
Did like $30 million this weekend.
Medea's house or something? It's not Medea's house. It's Medea.
It's Big Medea's house.
Big Medea's house, too.
Big Medea's house, too.
So I walk in, and not only do I mistime it, because I see that the movie with the dog, you see a dog, so I know I've mistimed it already. We're late for the movie, but I walk in, and I also see that every single row is filled. There are the single seats, and the only four seats together in the very, very front row, which, you know, makes you want to throw up when you have to sit down there. But let me tell you why it didn't matter. Because this movie, if they could nominate a Disney film for an Academy, it is the best movie that I have ever seen with my kids. I loved every minute of it, and it was a tearjerker.
Mm.
It was. All it is about this guy that's a guide in Antarctica, or is it Antarctica?
I thought
it Antarctica or Antarctica?
It's Antarctica.
And I thought so, too.
I thought that 8 Below was about David Lee Roth's ratings.
It's pretty close with that number that he had.
8 Below the 7th year.
But it was great. It's got dogs. It's got the story of this guy trying to find his dogs. Oh, and at the end, he rescues the dogs, man.
Oh, my God.
I know I'm ruining it, but I'm not giving anything. Everybody
did you let your
girls
see you cry?
No. It's one of the deals where I was really, really... At the end, because they always do this, they go right up to the end, and then they roll the credits, and we all get up on our feet, and I'm just like, let's go to the door. Daddy's got to hit the car, please. I felt so sad. I won't give you the plot details, although everybody knows it that's seen the trailer, but it just tugged at my heartstrings for the first time like that since I saw a little movie about football in Notre Dame, a little movie we like to call Rudy. The crying game.
It was just fantastic. I don't think my kids cried. I don't think Carla cried.
Of course
not. And I don't think anyone saw me cry, okay? That's the key. When the lights come up, you got to suck it up, you know? And you have to suck it up by sucking your tears back into your head.
Right.
So you don't have to do the famous eye wipe as you're walking out going, oh, man, I must have some bad sinus problems.
Mike, we got a break here.
Mm-hmm.
We got a break here.
You okay, Mike?
I like to see where the Huskies drank the cognac. It was fantastic.
When we come back,
yes.
What's your favorite state out of all 50?
There are two of them, but I would say Florida and Maine.
Maine. We're going to be calling the great state of Maine.
The Pine Tree State. I love it up there, and I love the people up there.
When we come back, we're going to be calling a place that has a dinner entree named after Jim Nance.
Yeah, baby!
Wonderful.
Hey, guys.
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 Guys, fantastic. Listen, I saw that dog movie, 8 Below. Cried like a bambino.
Faggot.
Thank you, Jim.
Be right back, guys.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And again, happy Thanksgiving from all of us here at the NFL today. Now, the IBM Power Poll, just picked by my guys here as always. Craig, Randy, Jerry, Eric Mann, Bob Matina, our radio buddies, Don and Mike, everybody in on this one.
The Don and Mike Show.
All right, guys. Time to have some Jim Nance fun.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, guys. Now we know your favorites. What a shock. Dan Marino's favorite, the Allie Landry commercial.
Hey,
one of my favorites as well. People think of Dan Marino as Mr. Miami, but he was actually born and raised in Pittsburgh. I know how much you would love to see the Steelers win here in Detroit tomorrow. Now listen, folks, the voting was so tight this year that we're asking you, the viewer, to do your own video replay. All you have to do is go to CBS.com and vote for your favorite.
Hey, guys.
And by the end of this show, we will reveal the commercial you pick as your number one spot of all time. So let's kick it off and get to the commercial.
At number 40, Pepsi proves that waiting is the hardest part.
Okay.
Radio at the lowest price possible, consistent with quality. The Don and Mike Show.
Well, obviously, we're fixated on the most beautiful woman in broadcasting.
She is one of our favorites, always has been, yep.
Now, you know, we're buddies with Jim Nance.
Oh, yeah.
He's a good guy. There's a place in Maine called the Maine Diner. They have on their menu for $18.50 the Jim Nance.
The Jim Nance, guys.
Award-winning seafood chowder with the famous lobster roll.
You can't argue with that.
Jim Nance.
Can't argue with the Jim Nance.
Jim Nance of CBS Sports loves this combination. Hey, guys.
Guys, there's nothing quite like this delectable seafood chowder and a lobster sandwich. It's yummy, guys.
Oh, the guy just
see if he's ever busted the place up.
Just being Nancy-like with him. Now he's ready to go on the air, right?
Ready.
Hey, guys. Calling Miles now.
Miles Henry.
Miles in Maine. Guys. Right here on CBS.
Hello.
America's Most Bankrupt Network. Miles.
Miles Henry.
Hey, guys. Yes. Hey, hi. This is Don.
And I'm Mike.
How are you guys?
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing great.
How is the food business, guys? Hey, I'll tell you something. I like seafood. I was talking with Peyton Manning of the Colts. He said he likes seafood. Watch for that. Phil, what do you think of that?
I think it's fantastic.
Hey, guys.
Miles Henry, we're here to talk all about the Jim Nance.
Well, the Jim Nance is a, you know, whether you know this or not, Jim has been involved up here in a charity golf event with former President Bush for a number of years.
Guys, he's a very charitable man.
The Three Amigos Foundation, done a lot of great work for that. I like to eat seafood while watching 60 Minutes right here on CBS.
Well, he's been very, very kind to donate his time. As you know, he's a very busy guy and a very generous
Very, very busy guy. Miles, you ever bust up the place?
No. That's never happened. He's been very nice.
I understand when he's in the diner, does he drink a lot?
No, he does not drink a lot.
Hey,
no, he likes
his wine though, isn't that right?
Well, you'll have to ask Jim that one.
Hey guys, listen, I want to say a little distasteful. Going down this road.
Just kidding. Try to inject a little levity. Understand that. Really want to hear why Jim Nance had a sandwich and bowl of soup named after him.
Guy,
no, what's,
not really a sandwich.
He's donated his time for this event up here for so many years.
How many people are eating Jim Nance?
Well, I have to tell you something. We have a 90-seat diner, my brother and I, for the last 24 years.
And
in our summer season, we serve 12 to 1,600 people a day. So a lot of people.
My God. And how many people that come through your doors, Miles Henry, order the Jim Nance?
How many eat Jim?
I'm going to guess probably 50 to 75 people a day in the summer, something like
wow,
that.
Wow, that's 70
marvelous
people
stuff
a day in the summer eating Jim Nance.
Do you have any other celebrities with sandwiches?
Well, we have a local fellow here in Boston, Eddie Andelman, who was an original sports.
Hey guys, I want to tell you one of the pioneers in our biz, Eddie.
Yeah,
good.
Eddie's a frequent.
A good guy.
We named a dish after him.
Uh-huh. Hey guys, tonight, don't forget, it's Jenna Elfman. She returns the show. Courting Alex. It's right after 2.5 Babies. That's tonight on CBS, America's Most Bankrupt Network.
It's an all-new CSI Miami. Don't forget that, Don.
Hey, guys, listen, Miles, you're up in Maine. Still cold up there.
Still cold. Yeah, we've had a cold winter, but it's cold right now. So another month of winter here.
Do you share the concern that we do, that maybe people should be staying in their homes while it's cold outside?
Good chance of getting frostbite exposure, perhaps catching one of those nasty viruses floating around right now. We urge people, we'd like you to jump on board, Miles, to stay inside, lock their doors, and not go out until springtime.
Well, you may be cheering for that. And with my business, I'd like them to at least get in their warm car and come on over.
Perhaps, let me have a suggestion for you, Miles. You can pop on Friday's number one drama, Judd Hirsch, in Numbers.
Well, there you go.
Guys, I'm talking on the phone moments ago, guys, with Tom Brady, the poster boy, the golden boy, three-time
yes,
Super Bowl champion.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, Tom Brady says to me, he says, Jimmy, I love to eat you. And I say, Tom, that can be taken the wrong way. He said, no, hey, guys, don't work blue.
Don't work blue at all.
Tom Brady says...
Bad location to go, guys.
He loves to eat the Nance.
The Nance, which is, if we haven't mentioned it, you've just tuned in, and you're watching CBS, award-winning seafood chowder with a famous lobster roll at the Maine Diner.
That's correct.
Hey, guys.
How you doing, Miles?
Doing very well, thank you.
Hey, guys, tonight it's a brand-new King of Queens.
Fabulous show right here on CBS.
Someone who is no stranger to food, of course, the beautiful, the curvaceous Lisa Remedy.
Miles, can you tell us, what was your number one Super Bowl commercial?
Oh, let's see. I kind of like the beer one with the frat house with the
Now,
refrigerator.
Hey, guys, Jim ever been in there with his wife, his daughter, been in, eaten in your place? Have you ever seen him with his wife in your restaurant?
Negative.
Negative?
Huh. Negatory. And, well, I hate to go down this road, but you never seen him with a strange woman, have you?
Never.
Very good. We're just checking.
May I go down one more road? Have you ever seen him with a strange man?
That is a definite negative.
What about Lanny?
Lanny
about
Watkins Lanny ever Martin? Come in?
Well, that's your call on that one.
Miles, here's an idea, throwing it out here. April just around the corner, Augusta, the magic of the Masters. Why don't you send Jim the Jim Nance, you know, freeze-dried or whatever, or put in the packed dry ice? Send him the award-winning seafood chowder and famous lobster roll. Send him down to the Azalea Line fairways of Augusta. Is that possible?
It would be an honor to do so.
Excellent idea, Miles. Get right on it.
Hey, Miles, a question for you. As you can tell, we're big Jim fans, as you are with the Jim Nance.
Some have told us we even speak like Jim Nance. What do you think about that, Miles?
You're in the ballpark,
guys,
I would say.
God bless you. Appreciate it.
Guys, here's a question for you, Miles. Have you seen Jim without his hairpiece?
That would be a negative.
Are you aware of the fact, Miles, Jim Nance, cue ball bald?
No, I was not aware of that. Guys, a slight exaggeration.
Well, he's got a little on the side.
He's got some Jean-Luc Picard.
Just a tiny little bit, but he keeps it close cropped. So it's best to put the artificial hair on top of his head.
Hey, guys, right here, CBS, don't forget, it's our tearful tribute. Fond farewell to Don Knotts, member of the CBS family.
Yes, and of course, perhaps Miles is in memoriam of a sandwich for Barney Fife, even though he's probably never sampled the food at the Maine Diner.
Well, I don't believe he has, and as far as in memoriam, I'd probably have to go back to something along the incredible Mr. Limpet, something in the seafood mode.
Excellent. Miles, you have your thinking cap on, and we appreciate it.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Guys. Yeah, guys, tell me something now. I want to tell you something. I'm a pretty straight shooter. What I would hate to do is go to your restaurant, enjoy the nance, come home, and smell like fish. Because right away, you know what the missus says.
Oh,
I think you'll be in pretty good shape on that one.
Yes, that's why very important, Miles, and I'm sure we don't have to tell you this as a restaurateur, keep the seafood fresh. Am I right about that?
Absolutely.
Absolutely now, important.
Do you have a photo of Jim hanging in the restaurant, guys?
As a matter of fact, he's in a couple of photographs that we've taken with our golf team and with other golf teams.
Have you ever gotten a chance to get any shots of Jim Nance, Miles, in compromising positions?
Negative.
Yes.
All right, I'm thinking about this. Final Four Chicken Fingers.
Oh, fantastic. That's right, he does the fabulous Final Four.
He does, guys.
How about the Houston Burger? You know, with a nice piece of Angus sirloin. Does that sound good, Miles?
That's got potential.
I really envision an entire Jim Nance menu. That's something you could probably pull off. You know, start out with the Jim Nance, which, of course, is the original seafood chowder with famous lobster roll, but just work it down. Does Jim eat dessert? I know he's got a terrible sweet tooth.
Well, you know what? That's a good question.
Hey, guys, I was just talking to Armin Katane on the sideline. Armin wanted everyone to know, tonight it's an all-new Dave with Bruce Willis. That's tonight,
I've got
guys.
It. I've got it. Hold on. Bolt of lightning. Huh? Bolt of lightning, guys.
Okay, guys. All right, guys.
Got the dessert. You name it after his tag team partner for those fabulous CBS football telecasts, Phil Simms.
Yeah,
how about this? It's real simple. Vanilla ice cream over a blondie. What do you think of that, Miles?
That would be interesting.
Fantastic. A tribute to the quarterback, the Super Bowl MVP quarterback from your New York Giants.
How about naming the dipping sauces after members of Jim's family?
That's a wonderful idea.
Hey, guys, wonderful Kathy Nance, beautiful little Julie Nance, the entire Nance clan, Ma Nance, guys, Pa down in Houston.
Got it. Bonnie Bernstein's bottomless bowl of bouillabaisse.
Listen, guys. It's been a pleasure. I want to say if we continue this conversation, someone out there listening may run the risk of catching frostbite.
Yes, so it's very dangerous, yes.
What we should do is, just like I said during the Patriots game 2 years ago, shut this baby down.
Yes, time. We don't want the fans. They're the most important thing, and I really think if we're exposing them to these kind of elements, it's a very dangerous situation for the fans.
Hey, guys, now, as you know, I'm worried about everything, and I don't have the Internet. I'm not a believer in the Internet, guys. In the Nance home, we don't have a computer.
For the love of God, it took you 20 years just to get a cell phone.
Do you have a website there, Guy?
Up here.
Yes, of course, Miles. Yes, don't be overwhelmed.
MainDiner.com.
MainDiner.com.
About 12 years.
Miles, yeah, how would we find you if we were coming into the general area? Where are you located, sir?
We're about 68 miles north of Boston, and we're very, very southern Maine, and we're just before, Wells is just before you go to Kennebunkport, so very southern Maine.
Lovely, guys, lovely part of the country, Miles.
Guys, it's James Arness. Tonight it's Gunsmoke. CBS, strike an ant stance. Got to say farewell, got to say goodbye. For Bonnie, for Phil, for my whole team, for all the guys.
Our radio buddies, Don and Mike, we got Rob, Buzz, the whole gang here.
For Greg, Phil, everybody back in New York.
Miles, anybody you want to say hello to?
No, I think it was nice having you guys call, and if anyone gets up into southern Maine, we'd love to see him stop by the restaurant.
God bless you.
Stand by tonight, 60 Minutes coming up, except on the West Coast. Guys, here on CBS, America's number one network.
Let's not forget Jennifer Love Hewitt and Ghost Whisperer.
Two big reasons to watch that show.
Yes. Do you sell milkshakes, Miles?
We do.
Very good.
Are they creamy?
Well, they should be.
Are they milky?
It's wonderful.
They've done right.
So stop by the main diner and have the Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Guys,
a delicious vanilla milkshake with a cherry on top.
Don't forget, tomorrow night, CBS, now that the Olympics are not on America's number one network, it's Alice, followed by the Jeffersons, then One Day at a Time.
The Olympics are over. We welcome you back to the CBS family.
It's an all-new Dave tonight. Dave welcomes Bruce Willis, guys.
Miles, you're a trooper for staying on the line with us.
Well, I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Again, we want to thank Jim. He's been very helpful in this.
We all thank you.
Charity,
guys.
Thy name is Nance.
Listen, thank you. Hold on, please. One of our producers needs to talk to you. Thanks for your time.
Okay, guys.
Hey, guys. Yeah. Don't forget, it's terribly cold up there in New England.
Very, very cold.
So bundle up.
Come out in April.
Guys.
Miles? Hey, it's Rob. How do you think it went? Yeah, they did have a good time. And, we appreciate it very much.
They had a good time.
Yeah, guys.
I didn't. They did.
Tell Jim, Don, and Mike said hi. Awesome.
Hey, guys.
All right, hope your business is wicked good. Bye.
At number 38, a great argument for self-parking.
Hey, guys.
At number 36, a nutty spot.
Those guys are a lot of fun.
We enjoyed it.
We'll be seeing more of those TV spots tomorrow and more of our top 40, all leading up to the number one Super Bowl commercial of all time, which you can still pick at CBS.com.
Hey, guys.
This is one fabulous lobster roll, just the right hint of mayonnaise.
Mean Joe Green stands the test of time.
Guys.
A little Steeler win here tonight, a harbinger of things to come tomorrow. Who knows? I hope you enjoy your Super Bowl.
I'm a tight ass.
Whichever side you're rooting for. You can't miss it. It'll be that game that runs in between all those commercials. Good night, everybody.
But chowder tastes like me.
These taste like wood.
Guys, I want to say hi to my dad. Dad, you can hear me? Hey, Dad. Dad, I know when the hurricane hit.
Up here, Dad.
Way over the line, guys. Way over the line.
Dad, I know when Houston was in the barrel. The bullseye, guys.
I'm a big Texans fan. Haven't gotten out of the stadium yet. Too busy during the NFL season.
Guys.
With the Nance family.
Guys, my dad's down there. You know, the hurricane's coming right at him. What are you doing about it, Jim? Well, guys, not one effing thing.
Getting back to the house in Connecticut. Hello, family in Houston. I'm mailing you some chowder.
Good friend, Jim Nance.
Please do not go out in the cold.
That's right.
Yeah, good friend.
It's a damn nasty thing to do to the fans.
You remember, around the time that Hurricane Katrina was wreaking havoc on the Gulf Coast, we had Nancy on the show one day, and the concern was that his dad was in a shelter in Houston.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we loved busting his balls, thinking, come on, you're Jim Nance from goddamn CBS.
Like, send down the plane.
Yeah, right. Like,
the company plane.
You can't send the chopper. It's like, you know, hey, guys.
But listen, guys, to the best of my knowledge, all is well. Everybody doing well. We certainly hope so. We pray for that.
Do you remember when you brought it up to him? You said, Jim, what about the hurricane? Very sad, guys.
Hey, guys. That's a sad one, guys. Have the lobster. Guys.
At number 6, we're serving up another bud.
All right.
Try the chowder.
Whatever. That's Jimmy.
At number 6, we're serving up another bud.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right, now, yes.
Bye!
The great Don Knotts has passed away.
Yeah. Right.
When we come back, we'll talk with someone who knew him very well.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, you were funny. You're funny, all right. You're a scream. You ought to get a job on one of those excursion boats.
Guilt's written all over him.
You wouldn't notice a muddy elephant in the snow, would you?
You know, the narrow chin and the eyes close together. And...
what's the matter? Have you ever seen a man take off a dress before?
Well, for my money, he's got all the facial characteristics of a criminal.
Nip it in the bud.
Yeah.
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, he's a great one.
Your round trip ticket to happiness. Don and Mike.
The great Don Knotts.
Absolutely.
Barney Fife. Goddamn, that's 3-in-1 weekend. Three good ones. The dad from A Christmas Story.
Right. Yes, Darren McGavin.
Right. And also Don Knotts.
Right.
And then, McCloud.
Dennis Weaver. Yeah,
Dennis Weaver. Ouch.
Very, very fast trifecta. Yeah.
Don Knotts, obviously, everybody loves Don Knotts.
Mm-hmm.
We were privileged enough to have him on the show one time.
Right.
He was really really good, didn't mind talking about being Barney and all that other stuff.
No, really nice guy, very nice guy.
So we thought, what's the best way to make a tribute to him?
Yeah.
And the best way would be to go to somebody that he knew very well.
I think so.
Make a little long-distance call right now up to that place called heaven. Hello, Floyd.
Ooh,
Floyd.
Barney. Oh, Barney.
Hey, Floyd. Floyd Lawson.
Hello.
Floyd Lawson.
Up here in heaven, Floyd the Barber. You there?
Hey, hi, Floyd.
Ooh.
It's the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, Don, little Donnie G. How are you? We're up here. We're real excited. You know, everybody's waiting. Otis is up here. And Emmett the Fix-It Man. All of us are gone before Barney. We're waiting. Wait up for him to stop by, you know, over here. How are you down there? We're up here in heaven, all of us, real good guys. Aunt Beanie, she's up here too. Woo! How are you down there? Wish you could join us, but not too soon, don't you know?
Now, is the secret handshake club still in effect?
Oh, yeah, we're up here playing checkers, and then we'll duck into the back, and Howard Sprague will put on his little outfit, you know, his strap on. We'll have a good old time. He wears one now, even though he doesn't have to.
But now, where is Don Knotts?
Not up here. That's why I've been sitting there all morning, all day Sunday, all Saturday, just up there calling right at the gate. I'm going, Barney. Oh, Barney, it's your friend Floyd. Yeah. Floyd the barber, waiting for you to come up here. Oh, you know, but we understand sometimes it takes longer, don't you know? Yeah. Longer than other people with paperwork. And
is that now?
Yeah.
Lots
of processing issues. Bureaucracy doesn't die when you die down there. You got to go through all that crap.
Would some of the problem be that I'm reading internet rumors that his nickname in some chat rooms was...
Well, there's one problem I can give you.
What's
it's
that?
Not anything about chat rooms or anything. Okay. He's got one guy up here that's lodged a formal protest.
Who's that?
John Ritter. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Ritter didn't like him, no. Said he treated him mean when he was on Three's Company. I said, come on, John. Bygones be bygones. No need to cause all a big, you know, I'm going to give you what fur. Yeah, but John said, no, he was nasty. He said he didn't think about others the way he should. I thought, don't you besmirch, you know, the memory of Don.
I'm a hell of a lot
more talented than you, Jack. Tripper. I'm going
to... Oh, yeah,
you remember Mr. Furley? He played... Don played Mr. Furley.
Right.
I watched it up here, you know. I'm long since gone. I've been gone for years.
What about this thing that I'm reading on the internet now that his nickname on the internet, his handle was Don Nazi?
Don Nazi. Oh, that's a bit blown out of proportion. We had a whole bunch of like-minded people, myself included,
and
felt the same way, you know.
Yeah.
Not really Nazi.
Because we didn't
want those to come into Mayberry.
Right, there was never
any fit in.
There were never any blacks or any Jews, any minority.
Well,
in
most
Mayberry.
Importantly, he went south with me after I had the first stroke, you know.
Oh.
All I asked for, I said, Andy! Oh, Andy, all I want is a little handicapped parking space, and Knotts didn't want it. No, he didn't. That wasn't being true to the group as far as he was concerned. He hated the afflicted, yeah. All of us. Yeah, really frustrating. As soon as Emmett started to, as his mind went, Barney would have less and less to do. We didn't want anybody coming in and soiling the Mayberry, the Maryberry pure of art, if you know.
You know, we've gotten over the years from you the truth about what went on in Mayberry, why Andy wasn't married.
Yeah.
The stuff that went on.
The boys had a good time. No sense getting those ladies involved. You know, I remember Andy used to always say, don't let the girls take over. That's like getting cancer. That's what he'd say. So we spent most of our days all together. I'll never forget when I came back with my stroke and I couldn't stand. And Andy was so nice to me. You know, Don said, put him away. We don't need him on the show anymore. I said, Barney, as I used to call him on the show. I said, I can still be funny. You don't need to put me away. And Andy said, come on, Barney. Put him in the car. Prop him up. He can still memorize his lines, no problem at all. Don would always say, Thelma Lou was a plague on all of us.
Wow.
Yeah, just like a disease. We all felt that way, though, especially Howard Sprague. He was the ringleader. Did I ever tell you about our Mayberry initiation that we had? That's some fun there.
Tell us again, though, please.
Well, when we did it with Ernest T. Bass, he couldn't walk.
for about 3 weeks afterwards. Yes, sir. And the Pile Boys, they loved it too. You know, we flipped them real quick, especially Jim Neighbors. We flipped him for good, you know.
Yeah.
I tell you, all it was one day of initiation with that boy. He had to fly to Hawaii.
I got to ask, out to his orchid farm.
How did little Ronnie Howard make it out of this? It's almost like one of those stories you hear about a kid that grew up in a broken home and rises above it to become a superstar.
Oh, yeah, little Opie. Yeah, good boy. Yeah, kept him out of the line of fire, Andy did. Yeah, real protective, kind of a father figure, you know. Oh. Hey, I tell you, it was tough because I swear to you, we were always lobbying, going up to Andy and saying, new meat, Andy, new meat. Yeah, get some new meat in here, please. Things with a woman took a turn for the worse after we made druggist Ellie Walker pull a four train. It was fun, though.
Wow.
But nobody's had their hearts in it. We like boys better than girls, especially Otis did. He was an animal, man. Insatiable sexual appetite.
Now,
for nights and days, you know. Just because he was big, the fat man, didn't mean that he had a special gift. Real special gift, if you know what I mean. Biggest man in Mayberry, and I'm not talking about his heart.
Wow. What are you looking forward to the most with Don Knotts?
Oh, the stories.
Yeah,
the stories. And the reminiscing and the cat calls, you know. And we can talk about the little catty stories about the fact that one time I'll never forget the time we took the actress who played Helen Crump and we glued her to a chair. It was so much fun. Don and I, Nazi as I used to call, Nazi loved that one. He really did. He said, oh, look at that. She's still trying to get up. And then she burst into tears and girls are often wanted to do. We did. Oh, come on. Should we let her go? No. She almost froze. We left her overnight on the set.
Now, just let's get this straight. Is Don Knotts a full-fledged member
of the Handshake Club?
Or is he one of those guys that plays both ways?
No, he's an enigma, you know. Real tough to gauge him. I'll tell you what I miss most about him, though. He can speak for himself. I'm not going to put words in his mouth.
Right.
I'm not going to put words in his mouth. I can tell you one thing.
Would you put your tongue in his mouth?
Yeah, oh, you bet I would. You know, we all would in the Secret Handshake. You know what I miss most about Donnie?
What?
I miss Don Knotts. Nice, tight glutes. I really do.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir. I tell you, he didn't have the 3% body fat. That's what I miss most about him. Oh, boy. I tell you, we all hated one guy, though. One guy wouldn't play our reindeer game.
Who was that?
Ken Berry. Oh. Or as we used to call him to his face, Ken Ferry. Here comes Kenny Ferry. Little fancy dancer won't play the game the way he's supposed to. Did you catch the Olympics? Loved the figure skate. Loved it. We all did. Enjoyed all the figure skate. And the ice dancing. Don't care for much else.
What do you like on Idol this year?
Oh, let me see. I like so many of them. I like Ace Young. Ooh, he's a good-looking youngster. Boy, we'd shore that hair right off. Yeah, we'd give him a buzz cut right away, put him in a sheriff's uniform, and take him down to the gas station and get him gooberized.
Oh.
We'd gooberize him. That's a special treat. Yes, sir. Goober, you want me to tell you about it?
Yeah.
Gomer'd hold the feet. And I'd hold the wrist down to the ground right next to the pump. And then Goober'd come by. We used to say, Goober's going to give you a special kiss. Oh, that'd be big fun. It really would.
That'd be full service.
Yeah, we tried it a couple of times on different people. One time, Emmett stopped breathing. Oh, the clock on the wall says, hold on, let's see if he's here. Nope, still not here.
Check at the
paperwork.
Check at the front door, see if he's there.
No, Barney. Oh, Barney. No, he ain't got here yet. Yeah. I tell you, we miss him. We looking forward to it. We're going to have a big dinner and a reunion. Oh, it's been so long since I used my left arm and finally clean fell off. I don't have it anymore.
Well, your arm
call me Stumpy. Woo! Oh, you want to come up here and play hide the knee high?
Now, how is it that your arm fell off? I imagine when you would go to heaven that you would be complete again.
No, it just fell clean off. I don't know what happened to it. Don't need it, though. Can still use the other one real good. Just ask Howard Sprague if I can use my right arm. Here it comes. I still got it in the box. Thinking about maybe gluing it on sometime. You know? Glue it right back on. That Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He liked panties, you know. Yeah.
What?
Panties, white cotton panties.
Say hi,
in a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
We made it up. Don't care much for Darren McGavin, though. He can come by if he wants to. We'll welcome Weaver.
McLeod.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I love that cowboy hat. Yeah, had a house made out of tires. You know?
Yeah.
How odd is that one? Been a while since I've been on your show. Everything going all right?
We missed you.
Okay, heard you had a tough plane ride. Ooh. Keep those fatties off the plane. That's what I used to say to Aunt B. You can't share my train compartment. Ooh.
Yes.
Tonight on News and Comments.
What's on the news?
Did Aunt B have the surgery? Is she totally a man now?
Totally a man. They got all the bits and pieces to go along with it. Yes, three. Right down there. She's a boy. She's a boy, but she's still got those mama breasts that she used to have.
Sure.
Yeah, doesn't look right. Doesn't look quite right. So looks like one of those oddball magazines.
So now her name still B, or is it
Uncle B?
No. Her name now is Bruce. Bruce, yeah, she can still bake a biscuit, though.
I'll bet.
Yeah, goober baked biscuits, too.
Uh-huh.
Little clingy biscuits.
What are your lead stories on News and Comments tonight?
What's the news, bud?
I'm glad you asked, Floyd. Tonight, the latest on Friday's Thing in the Microwave story.
Thing in the Microwave.
Oh, yeah, penis, remember?
Oh, you said the magic word.
Your wife.
That's the Mayberry password.
Your wife may...
Penis!
Your wife may someday want hoo-hoo surgery.
Not mine. Don't have a wife.
And...
Hoo-hoo means Daisy.
Daisy. Yes. Oh, yeah. B had her fixed.
Scientific
sure.
term.
Yeah. Microwaves cause cancer.
Yeah, they can, I think. And also, the president takes out a guy with his bicycle. All that tonight.
Good man, that W. Bush.
Uh-huh.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I like Cheney better, though. Yeah.
But we'll tell Knotts we said hi.
Yeah, I will. Oh, you know, Donnie! Barney 5!
Okay, bye.
Ooh,
oh, that was
bye.
Very...
That was professional! No.
This is the Don and Mike Show. WJFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
A handsome man recaps news in pleasing baritone. Stay tuned for this and more.
They are not going to ruin your goddamn day of joy. The Don and Mike Show.
Dude Walker right there. And now, nice big full segment. Here is Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Oh, hi.
I'm sorry. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
There you go.
We left you on Friday with the story of an unidentified man who went into a convenience store outside of Pittsburgh and had the clerk heat in the microwave what she later believed to be a man's severed organ.
Joe.
Wrapped in a paper towel, the man told her it was life or death. When the bell rang 20 seconds later, the man ran out of the store, and not just because the smell was awful. Over the weekend, people asked me, did they ever find that guy? The answer is yes. Turns out the thing wasn't a human body part at all. It was a latex replica of a human body part. And not the fun kind. It was the kind you might use to beat a drug test. Yes, once again, the Wizinator has reared its bulbous head.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Actor Tom Sizemore and other people who have to take supervised urine tests have been...
I don't remember.
Caught using them.
Excuse me, Rob, where are our Tom Sizemore tapes?
I'll find them. They're in the Tom Sizemore barrel.
I'm going to jerk a knot in your tail.
This Tom Sizemore, we try to ignore this guy. He's pretty much in show business, really, these days, a non-factor. But he keeps turning up in the news with various scandals.
I think he's a triple threat.
Well, he's got the sex tape that he doesn't want anybody to buy, yet he promotes it all the time.
That's right. He's out there. He's kooky. He's crazy. Mm-hmm. So he makes silly statements. That's two. And number three, I haven't come up with
it.
Bad parent. That's number three.
Beat up his girlfriend.
We try to forget him. He keeps resurfacing in the news with these kinds of items.
Has some great court press conferences too, doesn't he? When he's crying and all that.
Very dramatic.
As long as we're talking about the Wizinator, here he is with Donnie Douche.
I got separated from my wife in 1999. I met Heidi January 19th, 2001. Something about her interested in me.
Heidi Flash.
I was curious.
Mm-hmm.
As I got to know her, I felt great affection for her, and I thought at a certain point that I loved her. And I think I did. Still, I was only with her 9 months. In that 9 months, now from June 1, 95 until January 19, 2001, yeah. I never used a drug.
I remembered his last great quality.
It was.
He got kicked out of the meth clinic for picking a fight.
That's right.
I'm saying today I've used 3 days since July 11th, 2005. I've used 3 days. Three slips. I told my probation officer that very thing.
Bye! Always something with you.
He was the original Wizinator.
That's
before,
right.
Before the guy on the Vikings made it popular.
Sure.
Tom Sizemore made the Wizinator happen.
Making the rounds. 7-Elevens, meanwhile, are not going to stop selling beer, cigarettes, and lottery tickets. But some of them in Northern California are going to start putting bananas and carrot sticks near the cash register.
Now, what's up with that?
Well, the Home Office wants to change our perception of the store that brings us cigarettes, beer, and lottery tickets.
It's the wrong part of the United States to do that.
And also, hello, 7-Eleven really has the best perception, I think, of just about any store that you... I mean...
You know what you're getting.
You know exactly right. What you're getting. You know what they have. You know that they are open all the goddamn time.
It would be like changing the names of the stores to Free FM.
No, I mean, if you're going to put anything in the 7-Elevens at the front counter in Northern California...
Uh-huh.
Put books up there.
There you go. But no, quoting the CEO, when it comes to cigarettes, beer, and lottery tickets, quoting
like
him,
real study books.
Yeah.
Quoting him, that's not what we're all about. So the CEO is asking franchise owners to start pushing fruits and vegetables.
There's a new one I saw in the bookstore over the weekend that would be perfect up there. Thinking for Dummies.
This CEO may be out of touch at 7-Eleven. Joe DePinto had to be told by a reporter what's in a Slim Jim. The guy running 7-Eleven didn't know what a Slim Jim is made of.
Snout,
or so he said.
No, your three S's of 7-Eleven, you're right.
Right.
It's Snout, Slim Jim, and Skull. And what you got to do is have those three items piled as high as the eye can see.
Next to the right.
Right next to the lottery machine.
Right.
Right next to the hot dogs that look like the penises of burn victims.
Mm-hmm.
Right next to the slushy machine.
Slurpee.
3 S's of 7-Eleven. Mm-hmm. Slim Jim, Slurpee, Stuff Magazine.
Well, I still think that's Skull.
Uh-huh.
Skull.
Another
the S. 4 S's, because sure. You do have to have Skull.
And Snout.
Snout.
The 5 S's of 7-Eleven.
Sausage. Hot dog technically a sausage.
Yeah, but isn't a Slim Jim really a sausage?
No, Slim Jim would count.
It's a sausage.
Right. Slim Jim.
Yeah.
But for now, you have less money to spend anyway on things like carrots and bananas with inflation.
Our advice to 7-Eleven is you're already doing it perfectly.
Right.
I mean, who's... And I know that they do have, at least in most 7-Elevens, if you look hard enough,
mm-hmm.
you can find a banana.
Uh-huh.
You can find an apple in the back.
You can find a banana peel.
I go back. I can find the Slim Fast back there.
You can find Slim Fast in a 7-Eleven?
Sure, all the way. You go to the very back. I mean, they're not highlighting it.
Three rows back of the condoms.
But it's there.
Banana is backed by the 2-pack of hard-boiled eggs in the refrigerator.
Oh, yeah.
And those are the best eggs.
Mm. Yeah, they bounce so high.
7-Eleven, don't make the mistake that, like, I see certain fast food chains making.
Yeah. Trying to reinvent yourself.
Yeah. Right. Like, you know, hey, McDonald's, listen, here's what you do. You make hamburgers and the world's best french fries.
Right.
Stop trying to sell me on your yogurt goddamn parfait.
Mm-hmm. Yogurt salads.
Yeah.
And that's high in calorie anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, that's
it is.
Correct too.
Yes, it is. A lot of sugar.
I mean, they say yogurt, but it doesn't matter. It's like loads of sugar in there.
Full of sugar.
So just, you know, listen, stop the charade.
Right.
Just say, listen, this is it. And furthermore, stop with the nutritional information at McDonald's. I mean,
one place you don't want to know.
I got a load of that over the weekend when I was in an airport and I was at the Minneapolis airport. I'm at the McDonald's and they got the giant sign.
Right.
And I'm thinking, okay,
yes, so you're driving away with your like double quarter pounder with cheese and you can go, hey, 14,000 calories. I only thought it was 13,000.
Yeah, right. I mean, I know this stuff's not good for me. Don't advertise it.
Yeah.
Everybody that goes there knows it. Just like McDonald's, you got a great thing. Don't screw it up. 7-Eleven, you got a great thing. Don't screw it up.
Good advice.
Let me just remind you, the Coca-Cola Company, two
mm-hmm.
words, new Coke.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it.
Right. We'll only have a Diet Coke now. Don't they have another new product that they're trying?
Coca-Cola Zero. One.
Coca-Cola
Zero.
One.
Zero.
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 Well, Diet Coke is fine.
Yeah,
for those of us that drink Diet Coke, it's fine.
This is better.
It's perfectly.
Didn't need zero.
Coca-Cola One is better.
Coke Zero.
Coke Zero.
You'd prefer it.
Why?
Because it tastes better.
It does not.
Tastes like Pepsi.
It does not.
You know me. I live to hate.
All right, Don Nazi.
It may be a moot point because a lot of us have less money to spend on carrots and bananas. With inflation, the average American family income went down 2.5% over the last 3 years. The average family income, by the way, is $70,700 a year, according to the latest from the Federal Reserve. CBS, meanwhile, wants more of your money. The network, oh, you're going to love this. The network's offering a new service that sends breaking news to your cell phone with video for 99 cents a month.
Listen, and I'm not kidding about this, kids. Mm-hmm. This is why you go to iTunes right now.
Oh, it's free.
You sign up mm-hmm. for our podcast.
Right.
Every time I check, we're in the top 10 talk radio.
That's cool.
I guarantee the company right now, especially with the ratings coming out when they're seeing how bad all the streaming replacements are doing,
mm-hmm.
I guarantee once they figure out that we are, at least that could be a way to be a revenue source,
right.
Another revenue stream.
They're going to try to generate, I mean, no matter how you slice it, you know, the revenues are going to go down, and they're trying to figure right. out ways to you know, to get that back up.
So really, no BS. Go to iTunes now. If you mm-hmm. like the show and you'd like to download it for the podcast.
Get it while you can.
There's about 50 episodes up there right now, and we're trying to put as many as we possibly can before this turns into a Rush Limbaugh thing,
right.
which is, you know, oh, I'll pay a one-time membership fee. Mark my words.
Right.
They're going to do it.
They'll do it. So CBS News to your cell phone with video, 99 cents a month. They can also send you entertainment alerts, and they're working on a sports service. Quoting CBS's Les Moonves, you're going to be able to see an explosion in Baghdad minutes after it happens on your cell phone.
Now, here's the thing. I've seen the ad.
That's a quote. That's an exact quote.
And my wife, Julie, will be on.
Wow.
She's hot.
Want to see that explosion right after it happens.
I've seen the ads for the mobile ESPN phone.
Yes.
And I love football, and I love sports.
More than anybody.
But even that's why even I draw the line. It's mm-hmm. like, okay, on this little phone, mm-hmm. do I really need to see Dan Patrick's stupid face? Is there anything that's such breaking news? Like, what would be breaking news for me in sports? If Brett Favre retires.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There you go.
Do I really need a telephone that's going to give me video of Dan Patrick's tiny head saying that Brett Favre
they
is retired?
Counting on the fact that you do.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I don't.
They're counting. You know what they're counting on? They're counting on the fact that you can't live without it once it goes wide.
You'll like this touch. The CBS service also offers sound effects that will allow you to, among other things, inject applause and canned laughter into your cell phone conversations. Like that from CBS.
For 99 cents a month?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. There may be more for that. I don't know. We'll see. It's more than a honeymoon, Stitch.
If anybody ever does that to me, I'm driving to their house. And I'm going to put them in the trunk of my car.
Not again.
I swear to God.
What, with the laugh track on the
laugh
phone?
Track or any sound effect into a conversation. You have sound effects in conversations. Uh-huh. It's just like, hey, that's a good idea.
Boing.
Wow.
More than a honeymoon, Stitch, women are paying $5,000 each to surgically restore their virginity.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
And we call this the Beth Ann McBride Project.
Jeanette Yarborough did it as a gift to her husband on their 17th wedding anniversary. At the age of 40, he got a born-again virgin. Other women are paying for other procedures to tuck and tighten and generally spruce up what may be the center of the universe.
So what, it's like he gets to pop her cherry again?
Yes, exactly.
BFD.
Reconstructed hymen.
Well, you break the seal?
Yeah, for some guys that's apparently a thrill, and according to the article I read, for some women as well. But they're having these other things done, you know, nips and tucks and, you know, just, I don't know, sprucing up. A doctor in New Jersey.
Watch out for the seal.
Don't break it.
Doctor in New Jersey says
how
he does.
How you doing? My name, Buster Hyman. I'm here playing the hits with Paul, my pet seal. Don't break. The seal.
More money for plastic surgery.
Oh, yeah. A doctor in New Jersey says he does 10 of these rejuvenations a month on women down there. Quoting one patient, now it's like a glove. We feel like we're in our early 20s again.
So, you know, the problem is that a girl takes her pants off, and down there it looks like Joan Rivers' face.
Again and again and again. I guess if you do it once, you do it a few times.
Welcome to the House of Wax. Hello there.
And she, have you seen her recently?
Yeah, I was just
with the
say,
promos for the
oh
red carpet?
God,
have
yes,
you, have
yes.
you seen her and Melissa in
oh
the ads
yes,
for the red carpet?
She is terrifying.
She's
now.
She's Skeletor.
It's really, really scary.
Here she is.
Joan Rivers really looks like she could be in Jurassic Park.
Yes, she does.
There's Joan on the red carpet.
The Army has filed charges against all seven of the paratroopers who had gay sex in an internet video, and three of the soldiers from the elite 82nd Airborne Division are being court-martialed.
Homo.
Not for being gay, but for having sex for money.
Backpack mountain.
This is Rip Taylor. I will be at the Metroliner tomorrow at 11 a.m. in Washington, D.C.
General Taylor.
The soldiers performed for a military-themed gay website out of Fayetteville, Arkansas. All of the paratroopers will be discharged. Remember, still not just for parachutes anymore.
The discharge.
And the vice president didn't shoot anyone over the weekend, but we have just learned about the president's accident last July. Bicycling in Scotland, Mr. Bush ran into a cop. Today we learned the constable was laid up for 3 months after
the
accident.
What can I do to help you?
A Scottish paper got hold of the police report over the weekend. It says Bush got some scrapes and that the cop got a minor ankle injury. But the paper says it's also learned the officer was on crutches and off the job for more than 3 months after the alleged accident. The police report says the president had taken his hands off the handlebars to wave to some other officers saying, thanks you guys for coming. And then, you know, bang, boom.
Here's that idiot.
Down goes
he
Fraser.
He drove right over my ankle. Ugh, you're crap.
Hey, Bush, get in my belly.
Hey, Georgie, I got a turtle head poking out. Get in my belly. I want my baby back ribs.
Sometimes it would be better if the streets had no names. That's our story when we come back.
Hey, that's a clever tie-in to rock phenomenon U2.
The U2, that's right.
And the very outspoken Boner.
Oh, they're crap.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
They shall make the beast with two backs. Don and Mike.
Yeah. Black History Month. Tomorrow we celebrate it on the show. Bobby Mailman will be here.
Just in time.
Be calling a restaurant somewhere down south. What?
Rob's giving that the thumbs down.
Yeah. He doesn't like the idea.
Rob's giving
mailman.
That bit the thumbs down because Robert the Angry Mailman.
You know why.
He's coming in. He's got an agenda. And he'll be calling a restaurant that he's researched on his own called Tar Baby.
He did it.
It'll be
he found it.
That's tomorrow on the show. And one of these days we're going to meet the new schmuck. Who's the program director here?
Very good.
Oh, that's nice. But now here's Buzz again. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike.
Maybe we'll do that tomorrow with the guy with the red hair.
Oh, sure. Very good.
Very good.
Finally, we've talked before.
The new program director.
Right. A lucky man.
Or maybe we should wait till Wednesday.
Really? Why?
Well, I think we get ratings on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a better day to meet him.
Excellent idea.
We got a little bigger stick.
Excellent notion.
The little bigger stick in our hand.
I like it.
That's right.
Excellent notion.
Got to give us the upper hand a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You want that.
Like he's got leverage now.
Please.
Tool. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike. Finally, we've talked before about the heartbreak suffered by people who live on any street named Gay. But there are odder street names, and an online contest sponsored by Mitsubishi has turned up the oddest or most ironic ones.
You know, I live on Anal Drive, and
it's always fine. You live on the cul-de-sac, right?
I thought it was a one-way street.
Yeah, it is. No one leaves.
Actually, no, I live on Polyp Drive. I've moved now.
That's a bumpy road.
There are odder street names than Gay, however, and an online contest has turned up some of the stranger ones. The list doesn't really get good until you get up to number 6, Bucket of Blood Street in Buena, New Jersey. At number 5, the Houston intersection of Clinton and Fidelity. Barely beaten out by number 4, the intersection of Lonesome and Hard Up in Albany, Georgia. At number 3, Far From Poopin'. Far From Poopin' Road in Tennessee. It is
been there.
It is, by the way, the only way you can cross Constipation Bridge.
I've been on that bridge and that street.
True story. The second oddest street name honor went to Divorce Court in Heather Highlands, Pennsylvania. And the number one odd street name in Traverse City, Michigan, Psychopath. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Wow. What, Mike?
Thinking about Divorce Street.
Divorce Court.
Yeah, Divorce Court. Right. Yeah, Divorce Court. Right.
Which is right next to Psycho Street.
Psychopath.
Psychopath, yeah, right.
Psychopath, I'm sorry. That's it, we're out.
Yes.
We'd love to see you tomorrow with a new episode, everybody. What, Mike?
Nothing, Dom.
You look like you're dying to say something.
No, it's that goofy boy in back here that makes faces at me all the time.
What are you doing now?
He was doing his little smoking thing.
Okay, all right. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
You.
You know where I live?
Where?
Hit your wife with a bag of rock circles.
Hit your wife with a bag of rock circles.
Right. It's right next to Don't See the Mark Lane.
Come on,
I'm dreaming. Hit a bar.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.